recorded live.
Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you all. Amen. I would like to welcome you to another Talk Shoe segment of the Spirit of Elijah Ministries. I am your host, Apostle Lionel Blair. Amen. And it's another pleasure to be on with you all today, man. Last time we talked about advancing the kingdom, and you know, there's a lot of things that you know God had me to point out. A lot of things that the Spirit of the Lord revealed, and I believe on today that He's going to do the same thing. Amen. Before I go any further, I would just I'm just going to say a word of prayer, and then we're going to get right into it. Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now, Father, for your grace, your mercy, Father, that you so graciously bestowed upon our lives. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, that we may be forgiven for all the things that we've done, Father, when we was in the world. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now, Father, because as the word goes forth tonight, Father, I know, Father, that it's a divine word, Father. It's a word from heaven, Father. And I thank you, Father, that the lives of the people, Father, would never be the same, Father, including mine, Heavenly Father. And God, I just give you the praise right now, Father, because you're so good in our lives, Father, because truly, Father, you have been more than good, Father. You've been more than enough. And I take this time just to thank you, Father, for life, health, and strength. I take this time right now just to honor you, Father, and thank you, Father, for life, Father, because truly, Father, what we have done, Father, in our lives, Father, we deserve death, but you decided to give us life instead, and for that we are, Father, eternally grateful, Father. We are eternally grateful for what you have done in our lives, Father. And Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your grace, Father. We thank you for your grace, Father, something that we don't deserve, but you gave it to us anyway. And I thank you and I praise you for it, Father. And Heavenly Father, I just ask, Father, that you would speak forth, Father, today, Father, because I'm only a vessel that you use, Father, for your glory, Father. And I just thank you right now and I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see a couple of people are called in today, and I just would like to thank you all for logging in, amen, for calling in on today. Today we will be discussing advancing the kingdom of God, moving in the grace of God. Now, I'm going to recap a little bit of what I talked about last segment, which was yesterday. What was discussed or what was presented was that, you know, a lot of times, you know, we're talking about we're going to move in the things of the kingdom. You know, we're going to possess the kingdom and, you know, we're going to move in the things of the kingdom. A lot of people are talking about this kingdom message. However, they're not, a lot of them, not all of them, but some of them are not in the kingdom of God. Now, we must understand that in order to be in the kingdom of God, the Bible says that you must be born again. The Bible says no man can see the kingdom of God unless he or she is born again. Now, if you and I begin to find out what it really means to be born again, then you'll find out that a lot of us that are supposedly in the body of Christ are not born again, because when you're born again of the Spirit. Nicodemus asked a crazy question when Jesus said you must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. He asked, do you enter back into your mother's womb and be born like that again? Obviously, I mean, you can use logic for that one and really know that that's not what Jesus was talking about, because he was not talking about a natural thing, but he was talking about a spiritual thing, because like we discussed earlier, the kingdom of God is spiritual. It is spiritual, so you must be born again in the spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, being born again goes all the way back to the cross. It goes all the way back to the cross, and I'm going to go to the cross tonight, something that, you know, a lot of people don't go to anymore. You know, we preach money and prosperity and having all these material things, you know, but we never preach the cross like we used to. You know, I can remember, you know, even growing up, I'm not that old, but I can remember growing up and I would hear the preacher talk about Jesus and the cross. And now, you know, everything is money and prosperity, you know, and God has nothing against us prospering. Don't get me wrong. God has nothing against us prospering, but however, he's not going to give prosperity or material wealth to somebody who is not born again, somebody who is still walking in their flesh. See, because understand that when God gives you something, there's a responsibility behind what he gives you. And if you're born again and yielded to the Spirit of God, then if God gives you something and he tells you that it's not for you but it's for somebody else, you're not going to be hesitant to obey the Spirit of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to be I'm going to get right into this. Amen. One thing about grace. It is something that is not earned. I'm going to do more teaching and preaching tonight, amen, unless the Holy Ghost just take a hold of me and I just go. You see, sometimes he does that with me. But I'm going to try to stay in a teaching mode tonight, because one thing that the Spirit of the Lord has spoken to me, he said that the people are not being taught properly, and they have to be taught properly so that we can correctly move in the things of God. Amen. One thing about grace is it is something that is not earned. It's a gift. The Bible says we are saved by grace through faith. And I'm going to really pick apart that scripture, you know, and I'm not going to be before you long. I'm going to try not to anyway. The Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith. Through faith. Now, it's by grace that we're saved, but in order to enter into that grace, you got to enter into it through faith. Now, the Bible gives an example of Abraham. The Bible says that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now the Lord, in Genesis 12, I believe, spoke to Abraham and said, "Look, I need you to get away from your family, leave your kinfolks behind, and I need you to go to a land that I will show you." And in faith, now Abraham was living in a pagan society now. I'm going somewhere with this. Abraham's family was brought up in paganism. Come on. He came from Ur of the Chaldeans, the land of Chaldea. Now, if you know about Chaldea, Chaldea is associated with ancient Babylon. Abraham came from a pagan society. God called him out of a pagan society. And God said, "I need you to leave and go to a land I will show you." Abraham didn't ask any questions. He responded to the voice of God. He responded to the unction of the Holy Spirit. He believed what was spoken to him by God, and he walked accordingly because he left. That's the same experience that we're supposed to have. Everybody knows that America is a pagan society. Everybody knows that America is a society. It's just like Sodom and Gomorrah. It's just like Babylon. America is a modern-day Babylon. And if you study about ancient Babylon, you will see that Babylon was a place that had all kind of filthiness, all kind of sexual immorality, all kind of witchcraft, all kind of occult practices, and all kind of weird religions. Babylon was like the melting pot of a religion and perverseness. So understand that when God calls you out, he's calling you out of your place of bondage. Oh, Babylon yeah. is spiritual bondage. Amen. And so God said, being that he believed me and moved in faith, come on now, moved in faith, responded to the word that I spoke. The Bible says that he saw Abraham as a righteous man. Now, the whole time Abraham moving in faith now, Abraham lied
mm-hmm.
and said Sarah was his sister. You see, Abraham had flaws. Come on. But when you, because he responded in faith, come on now, he began to now move in the grace of God. Come on, Jesus. Y'all got to feel me on tonight. He began to move in grace. Come on now. So that's the same experience we have. That's why the Bible says that those that believe upon Jesus, come on now, and respond to the gospel and walk according to faith, come on now, is a descendant of Abraham. The Bible says that Abraham will be the father of many nations or Amen. Nationalities or people of ethnic backgrounds, because he is our primary example of how to move and operate in faith.
Go ahead.
Huh. See, thing about it is, you know, when you believe something, you are going to walk accordingly to what you believe.
Come on now, say that.
The Bible says that faith without works is what? Dead, right?
Yes.
Come on, Jesus. Faith without works is dead. So if you say you believe something, come on now, and your walk does not exemplify what you believe, then guess what? That makes you a hypocrite, because
Jesus.
You're speaking something that you really don't believe in your heart. So when people come to Jesus, come on now, when people respond to the gospel, you can tell if they really responded to the gospel or not, because from that moment forward, their life is not going to be the same again, because if they truly believe in their heart, then they begin to move in the grace of God, and then when you move in the grace of God, that invites the Spirit of God to come and to move in your life. Let me say this, and I said this yesterday. When I got saved, I didn't say a sinner's prayer. I know it's going to mess with a lot of folks' theology, because we teach, you know, if you come and you come to the altar and confess your sins, that, you know, you're going to be saved, and, you know, once you're saved, and, you know, you can't lose that salvation, which I'm going to bust that lie wide open. Once saved, always saved. That's a lie from the pits of hell. But if you see, like I said yesterday, we look at the Bible and we look at the scriptures from a surface point of view, from a surface interpretation. Come on now. And a lot of us get our interpretation from man. We go by what people say instead of digging in the Word of God for ourselves to show ourselves approved. Because we will see That scripture, Romans 9, matter of fact, I'm going to turn to it, and I'm going to read it.
Mm-hmm.
Man. I'm going to turn to it, and I'm going to read it. Romans 9, I mean Romans 10 and 9. Romans 10 and 9. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You got to look at that word confess, because I have a Bible. It's called the Complete Jewish Bible, and it breaks it down very, very good. And it confirmed what the Lord showed me, too. It says that thou wilt confess with thy mouth. That word confess means to acknowledge publicly. My Jewish Bible says if you will continue to acknowledge publicly. See, the word confess means to acknowledge publicly. Check this out. When you acknowledge something, you're walking, you walk according to what you acknowledge. When you acknowledge something, that means that you believe what it is that you're saying.
Amen.
Come on. You believe what it is that you're saying. And if you believe what you're saying, you're going to walk accordingly. If you really believe that Jesus is the Lord of your life, come on now. If you really believe that he is now the Lord of your life, come on now, then you're
right.
Going to walk like he's the Lord of your life.
That's right. That's right.
See, people coming to the church that are not saved, we don't teach them this. We teach them that, you know, they say a two-minute prayer and they're saved. No, you're not saved from a two-minute prayer.
Jesus.
Come on now. Matter of fact, the Bible describes salvation as a progressive work.
That's right, that's right.
It says you shall be saved. That's a progressive word. Shall be or will be, meaning that it's something that's not obtained immediately, but if you continue to move in the grace of God, come on now, then you shall arrive to that place.
Amen.
The Bible says those that endure to the end shall be what? Saved.
Yes, Lord.
Come on. It didn't say if you say a two-minute prayer, you're saved automatically.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's another reason why that we're losing souls in the kingdom too, because they're not being taught properly. It's not that we're not taking the time to teach them. It's that we're not teaching them the right thing. And it's causing us to lose souls in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And God is going to hold us accountable unless we stand up and we say, look, it's a progressive work, but first you got to believe.
Amen.
And when you believe, you got to walk accordingly. It is not
Amen.
Like you don't have no help, because I'm going to tell you something. God is not going to leave you in bondage.
That's
if
right.
you want to come out.
Amen.
I can remember, and see, God is no respecter of person. What he do for me, he'll do for another.
Come on now.
I can remember when I first started going back to church, you know, because I was flip-flopping for a little bit, and, you know, for a long time I didn't go. And, you know, I knew that, you know, the hand of the Lord was upon my life. I knew I had a calling upon my life. My grandma brought me to church, you know, ever since I was little, you know, so I pretty much had to see the Jesus planted all in me. But God is no respecter of persons. So despite your background, you know, what God will do for me, he'll do for another. Now, I can remember when I started going back to church, you know, I had a little smoking problem, right? And, you know, I smoked weed and I drank. When I started going back to church, immediately the weed stopped and the alcohol stop. The alcohol went first, and then the weed.
Yes, Lord God, thank you.
That's because I wanted it all. I wanted it gone.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I wanted it gone. I wanted God to take that away. But the thing that I struggled with was the cigarettes. Man, that cigarette demon didn't want to let me go, and I didn't want to let it go.
Mm.
I'm gonna tell you something. If you don't want something in your life, and you ask God to get it out, eventually he's gonna get it out.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm.
I smoked for a while, and then one day, I was like, you know what, God, I'm tired of smoking, you know, because I would try to stop on my own, and then you know I ended up going right back to it. That goes to show that you can't do it on your own, no way. So, I told God I was tired of smoking, and I really was tired of smoking. And then the next day I woke up, bam, I ain't smoking.
Thank you, Jesus.
Didn't have the desire to smoke.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes for every smoking Christian out there. I got to keep it real. Matter of fact, you're not a Christian if you smoke.
Mm.
Let me just put that on the record real quick. You're not a Christian if you smoke. You're not a Christian if you drink. You're not a Christian if you make a habit of cursing. You're not a Christian if you indulge in all kind of secular music, because that is not Christ-like.
Come on, now, speak it.
Jesus.
I mean, I'm just being honest with you. You know, you're sending a mixed message when you're talking about God. You're talking about God with your mouth, and then, you know, you're saying something else. You know, with your you're saying something else with your lips.
Mm.
You're saying something else with your lifestyle. You see, you're talking one thing and living another. You can't do it. You know, now in this hour, I believe God is drawing the line, you know, and he's separating the clean and the unclean, you know, the real from the fake, because this is the hour here where the kingdom of God is about to be advanced.
Amen.
And he's preparing his people for kingdom advancement.
Yes,
but in order to advance the kingdom, we got to get the basics down first.
Mm.
You know, that's why when I'm talking about moving in, when I'm talking about moving in the grace of God, you know, a lot of people may say, well, that don't got nothing to do with kingdom advancement. It has everything to do with kingdom advancement.
And
because you enter into the kingdom and the benefits of the kingdom by the grace of God. And when you respond in faith to the gospel, come on now, when you respond in faith to the gospel, that means you believe upon the gospel. You believe upon the good news of Jesus and the kingdom that he came to establish, because that's all Jesus preached was about the kingdom of God. All his parables, the kingdom of God is like unto this. The kingdom of God is like unto that. His first words, began his public ministry and began to preach, his first words was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The word repent means to change your mindset. The word repent means to change the way you think. It has nothing to do with you confessing your sins. It has nothing to do with none of that. It means what it means. Change your mindset. What was Jesus saying? Because understand, confession and repentance are two different things. I mean, it can go hand in hand, but it's two separate things. You know, let's just be specific about this thing. Now, what was Jesus saying? Repent, change your mindset, come out of that law mindset, because of the kingdom of God is at hand. I have to give you a brand new mindset because there's a whole new order that I'm bringing to the earth. Come on now. Come on, I'm about to bring something that you have not seen before. And if your mind is still stuck in tradition, if your mind is still stuck upon your own works and according to the law, come on now, you're going to miss the kingdom of God. That's why they missed Jesus, because of how they perceived Jesus to be on the outside. Come on now, Jesus didn't walk around with a royal robe on and crown upon his head, and gold dripping right out his neck, and gold dripping out his mouth. Come on now. Come on now. That's why they missed Jesus, because they went by what he looked like. He walked around with sackcloth and all kind of stuff. He looked like the common people.
My God.
Come on now. He looked like the common people, but they missed the King of Glory and the kingdom that he came to establish, because they was looking at it according to the flesh. That's why Jesus said, repent, change your mindset. Come on now, it's time to come out of that old paradigm, because what I'm finna bring, if you're not in the spirit, then guess what, you're going to miss it. Come on now, that's why he told Nicodemus, he said, look, you got to be born again. And Nicodemus, come on now, he was a ruler of the Jews. In modern day terms, he would be a pastor. Come on now. If he was living today,
Jesus,
he would be a pastor. So let me break it down in modern terms. You a pastor?
Right.
You a pastor? A preacher? Apostle? Prophet? Evangelist? Pastor? Teacher? Supposed to be a leader or a believer? And you don't know that you must be born again?
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that you can't be in your flesh? You don't know? Come on now, if you can't move in the things of God, if you are in your flesh.
That's right.
My Jesus.
My God. So now, you see, when we start moving in grace, come on now, Paul said, I'm an apostle by the grace of God.
Yes.
That's
good. So everything that we receive from God, you know, because we believe in him and we believe in what Jesus did, and our lives are lined up according to what we believe. He bestows stuff upon us. He gives us stuff. Matter of fact, he gives us breath to breathe. That's enough. My God.
Mm-hmm.
But let alone a call. You see, Paul saw himself as the least of the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why did he see himself as the least of the apostles? Because when he was in the law mindset, come on now, because Paul sat on the Sanhedrin council. He said he was a Hebrew above Hebrews. Come on now. He was persecuting the church.
Uh-huh.
Come on now.
Oh.
So that's why he seen himself in such a low state.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because of what he did.
That's right.
But God said, come on now, even though you did that, I'm willing to forgive you.
Yeah.
Come and
on.
Set you on high. See,
that's
Paul,
right.
Paul, when he was on the road to Damascus,
yes.
He heard the word of the Lord.
Mm.
God, come on, Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And he responded.
Mm.
Jesus. He responded. So being that he responded, God was able to do a quick work in his life.
Yes, that's good.
See, a lot of times we hold up what God wants to do in our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
We hold up what God wants to do in our lives because we still want to operate by the law and not operate by grace.
My God.
Because the law begins to show you that you can't do it no way.
Mm-hmm. All right.
The law, if you operate according to the law, that's upon your own efforts.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows you that you're not good enough.
Amen.
Come on. See, because the law is according to works.
Mm-hmm.
See, because every time in the Old Testament that they sinned, they had to bring the blood of animals. Because understand that the law was really made as a punishment for man.
Mm.
Because of what he did in the garden. Because of what he did when he rebelled against God in the garden. And really, Adam and Eve, they did not disobey God. They rebelled against God. See, there's a difference between rebellion and disobedience.
Amen.
Disobedience is when you don't do what God say do. But rebellion is when you do the exact opposite of what God say do.
Mm.
Uh-oh. See, sometimes we miss God. We be disobedient in a certain area and we miss God. And then we be like, man, God, I'm sorry, you know. Please give me another chance or something like that. Or, you know, God will be like, well, I'm going to bring it around to you again. Don't miss it this time.
Mm-hmm.
But rebellion, my God, is when God says go this way and you deliberately go a whole another way opposite of what he told you to go.
My Jesus.
So how many people today are operating in rebellion?
Lord God. God.
See, when you operate in rebellion against God, that's insulting the grace of God.
Mm.
The Bible warns us about insulting the grace of God. See, because when we use the grace of God as occasion to sin, that leads to rebellion. Because God is commanding us not to do these certain things. And God understands that we're human and we make human mistakes. But when you get it down in your heart that I'm going to do this, even though I know God does not approve of it, but being that, you know, I got grace, he'll forgive me. Come on now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The Bible forbids that. It
mm-hmm.
says God forbids.
Mm-hmm.
And see, when we begin to remove in rebellion, I'm going to show you that the blood of Jesus does not atone for rebellion.
Jesus.
Hebrews 10 and 26, it says, if we willfully sin, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. So if we willfully sin after we receive the knowledge of the truth, remember I said rebellion is doing the exact opposite of what God said do? Truth is, we know that we shouldn't be smoking cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
And God is able to deliver.
Yes, he is.
And see, in this hour, God said he's removing all excuses. So you know, every believer is supposed to have a relationship with God.
Amen.
So it's not dependent upon your pastor laying hands on you or not. Because you should have your own relationship with God and experience the presence of God for your own self in your own house, in your own secret place.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Uh-oh. I think I done touched on something there. Because we become too dependent upon man. Understand, yes, you respect the authority and understand that God may give certain wisdom to leadership for your life, but every believer is supposed to have a relationship with God for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Most pastors are not going to tell you that. But anyway, back to the scripture. I'm going to get to that. Anyway, back to the scripture. It says if we continue or deliberately sin after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. So if we sin after we knowing that it's wrong to do it, remember that's an act of rebellion. There remains no more sacrifice for sin. Other translations, and matter of fact, that word sacrifice means atonement. There's no more atonement for sin.
Mm.
Come on. So that state of rebellion that you're in, the blood of Jesus does not atone for that.
My Jesus.
That's something that you have to willfully come out of yourself.
Yeah.
Just like you willfully sinning, you got to willfully come out. Oh, my God. Come on, Jesus. You got to willfully come out. Because if you continue that state of rebellion, Lord knows what will happen to you. Because if the blood of Jesus don't atone for that, that means you have stepped outside of the realm of the blood covering of Jesus.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And when you're not covered in the blood, then everything can happen to you.
Right, that's right.
Come on now. You're supposed to be moving in grace, but instead of moving in grace, we be in salt and grace.
Mm.
God, Jesus.
My Lord.
And that's a very unwise thing to do in this hour.
Yes, it is.
So in order to effectively move in the kingdom, we as a people have to get to the place in God where we're not insulting the grace of God, but we're moving in the grace of God. Because, and that goes back to our faith. What is it that we really believe? Because if your belief system does not line up with the word of God, then it's not of God. See, some of us got to deal with our thinking. We got to deal with our minds. That's why the first thing Jesus said was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. See, because flesh opposes spirit. And when you're in your flesh, you're going to go according to what the world goes by in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
See, the world don't think there's nothing wrong with smoking cigarettes and going to church.
That's right.
Right.
The world don't think too much of nothing when a deacon on the deacon board be drinking beer and lusting after the women and still be up there in the church doing their deacon duties.
Amen, amen.
Come on now. That's a worldly mindset.
Yes, it is.
The world sleeps around. The world lies. Come on now.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
The world say one thing and do the exact opposite. But us as a people of God, we shouldn't be in that place.
That's
matter
right.
of fact, we should be a light to the ones that are doing those things and say, hey, you don't got to pretend no more.
Hmm.
Okay.
You don't got to pretend no more. You don't got to hide your hurt no more, because Jesus will heal your hurt.
Come on,
man. A lot of people do stuff because they hurt. They've been wounded.
Yeah.
And sad to say, a lot of them been wounded by the church.
Yeah.
Church folks ride by on Sunday, rolling windows up, turning nose up at them like they stink.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't no better. You was once not saved, too.
Come on, now, speak that.
You used to be in a crack house, too.
Oh, gee.
Now, all of a sudden, you got too good to go see about God's people?
My Lord.
Come on, now. And the kingdom is going to be advanced, but, you know, people is only going to be advanced through the ones that's moving in the grace of God. And when you move in the grace of God, you have this mindset and you understand that, hey, look, I'm no better than the people that I'm called to reach.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's good.
It's by the grace of God I'm saved, because in the natural I'm all jacked up.
Yes, come on now, speak that.
But I'm trying to live a life that's pleasing to God. I'm making the effort. I'm responding in faith.
I'm trying to live a life that's pleasing to God.
See, Abraham, Abraham was had some jacked up ways. But even in the midst of him having jacked up ways, God still moved in his life.
Amen.
He worked with him because he believed. He came to God flaws and all. And in this hour, flaws and all, we got to say, God, here I am. Whatever you don't like about me, move it.
Yes,
Jesus.
I don't want it if you don't want it.
Amen.
See, a person who's moving in the grace of God has that mindset where, look, it's not by my own works. If God has given you a vision and told you to step out on it, step out on it.
Amen.
Come on now. It's not by your works that it's going to come to pass anyway. You're just moving with the Spirit of God. He's doing the work. You're just being the vessel that's available that he can use.
Hey, Lord Jesus.
Our calls about the grace of God. And understand that even if you are apostle, prophet, whatever, those job descriptions or those ministries are really like job descriptions, and they're only here until the church becomes perfected.
Amen.
It's only until the church becomes perfected. And then after the church is perfected, you ain't going to be no apostle, no prophet. Come on now, no evangelist. There's no apostles in heaven.
Come on, say that.
Come on now. Let me say that again.
Glory, hallelujah.
Because some of us, we be holding fast to them titles, you know, and understand, you know, if God calls you to be an apostle, by all means, walk in it. If God has called you to be a prophet, by all means, walk in it. But at the same time,
small one, and everybody wants from. If I get a big one, everybody looking at it like I'm talking about a thing.
Amen. Amen. If you have any background noise or something, I ask could you put your phone like on mute.
Amen.
Amen. If you have any background noise, I ask you to put your phone on mute. Amen. But these ministry gifts, until the church is perfected, and I know that the church is a long way from being perfected. I know that, but God is capable of doing anything overnight. Amen?
Okay.
And the Bible does say that, you know, God's going to do a quick work. He's going to cut it short in righteousness for the elect's sake. Amen? So we know that God is going to do a quick work. But like I was saying, there's no apostles in heaven. There's no prophets in heaven. Come on now. So by all means, walk in who God say you are. You know, if God say you evangelist, prophet, apostle, whatever, you know, walk in it. Do your job description. Do what God has called you to do. But know this, that when you stand before Jesus, come on now, that ain't going to matter. See, David was king of Israel. But you notice that when God addressed David, he didn't say David, king of Israel. He said, my servant, David. Come on.
Jesus.
He said, David, my servant. Come on now. So when God looks upon us and he's dealing with us in a personal way, he's saying, Lionel, my servant. Come on now. He's saying, you all, my servants. Come on now.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you something. When the Lord speaks to me, he don't call me Apostle Blair.
Mm.
Come on now. Very rarely he calls me by my first name.
Come on.
He might call me son. Most of the time he calls me son. Come on now. It depends on how God deals with you, because God is a personal God.
Mm. Yeah.
He might call you son, daughter, might call you by your first name, or might call you by something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my beautiful daughter or something. He might call you that. I mean, you can't put God in the box and saying he ain't going to call you that.
That's right.
Right.
It's because God is a personal God, and he's personal, and he knows our needs and our desires, and he accommodates us according to what we need and our desires. So understand that God is a personal God. But know this, that, you know, when I'm standing before God, when I'm worshiping God, I have no pride. Come on now.
Yes, Lord.
If I got to cry, I'm going to cry.
Come on now.
Come on now. I've been shed plenty of tears. Come on now. If the Lord want me to get on my knees, I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to bow before him.
Yes.
I was visiting my father's church the other Sunday. I was visiting my father's church. And, you know, worship began to go on, and, you know, the man of God, he began to minister prophetically during worship and everything, and I got on my knees and bowed my head and lifted my hands. For some people, they might say, that don't look right for an apostle to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They might not say that, but that's how they act.
Come on now.
But it's not about what it looked like to you.
That's right.
Ooh, Jesus.
And it's not about what it feel like to me. Honestly, me, I didn't mind. You know, some people got are still struggling with pride. They got that they still wrestling with pride.
Uh-huh.
No, there is no pride when you're in the presence of God.
Come on.
If you got a weak cry on the floor, holler, scream.
All right.
Jump up and down, run around the church saying, "I thank you, Jesus." Come on now.
Thank you,
Lord.
There's no pride in that. And when you really understand the grace of God and the grace that God has bestowed upon your life, come on now, when you think about the goodness of God, knowing what you was into before God came and saw about you, presented the gospel message to you, and you responded and walked accordingly, and God did a transformation in your life seemingly like overnight, when you think about that, come on now. It ought to make you want to cry. It ought to make
All
you
right.
want to get broken before the Lord. Come on now.
Jesus,
it out to
yes, the Lord God.
Jesus.
God.
So God is bringing back now that kind of worship. My God, I'm not trying to go here, Jesus. He said, you must worship God in spirit and in truth.
Come on now, yes, Lord.
It goes back to being born again. It goes back to walking according to the grace of God. Because if you're truly walking in the spirit, you understand that even though I got flaws, I'm not trying to purposely come against God. I'm living my life according to the pattern that God set, and the word of God and the spirit of God is helping me on my journey towards salvation.
Jesus, yes, Lord.
Huh. Jesus.
My God.
You must worship God in spirit and in truth. You cannot be in your flesh and worship God.
Wow.
It is totally impossible. See, when you try to worship God in your flesh,
uh-huh,
from a soulish, emotional place, come on now. What you're presenting up and going to the center and hitting back down to the floor, God not accepting that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time, I said this yesterday, I'm going to say it again. One time the Lord told me he hates Sundays.
Mm.
I'm like, you hate Sundays? And he told somebody else that too. He said, I hate Sundays.
Mm.
And I said, why?
Mm-hmm.
Because they offer that defiled stench up to me and it stinks. So that goes to show that most of the churches now, or most of the people now, because you do have some wheats and some tares, but they're growing together.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, God will do the separating.
Come on now.
But you have some people now that are worshiping God in their flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now.
Jesus.
And I'm going to tell you another revelation too. The Bible says, don't fear God, but fear man who's able to cast body and soul into hell. But the Bible also says that when a man dies, his spirit goes back to God. So the soulish realm and your flesh is already destined for hell. That's why the Bible says walk in the spirit, that you will not fulfill what? The lust of the flesh.
That's right, that's right.
Because flesh is going to be destroyed anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's the spirit man that goes back to God. That's another revelation within itself. That's a whole other teaching by itself. I know some folks probably messed up by now, but that's a whole other teaching by itself.
Yes,
come on
is.
Now. Come on now. I'm going to get into that another segment. Amen. But understand that we cannot continue to walk in our flesh and think we're going to please God.
Amen.
The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. Faith is a spiritual thing. Come on now.
Right.
And what you do in the natural is a result of what has already taken place in the spirit. So if you believe God in your mind, your heart, your spirit, come on now, your natural man is going to line up, come on, with what you believe.
Because
when you acknowledge something, that means you're believing what you're saying. It's not just when you acknowledge something, you got to look at the word knowledge in that.
Mm.
Knowledge deals with knowing. When you know something for sure, in your heart, my God, you will walk accordingly to what you know.
Mm-hmm.
Your reaction is going to be different. Now, there are people who respond to the gospel and their lives are genuinely changed from that moment on. Then there are ones who come up to the altar and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. See, because they got scared for a moment, and then they go back out there. I was one of them ones that I would get scared for like 2 hours, and then I go back to what I was doing. One day, right, I was one day I was smoking weed, right, and I began to smoke, and then I had a little accident, right. I smoked a little too much, and I passed out.
Jesus.
And then the next day, my grandma said that I had a that my grandma called me and said, I had a dream about you.
Mm.
I had a dream you were smoking pot. She called it pot. I had a dream you were smoking pot out there with the boys, and you dropped dead and you went to hell and you were screaming.
Oh, Lord.
But that moved me for 2 hours.
Jesus.
Then it was back to weed smoke, but I was scared for 2 hours. And then my great grandma said she had a dream too.
Jesus.
See, when you a sinner, you a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
My great grandma said she had a dream too. She said, I had a dream that you were smoking pot and you dropped dead. She said, the next time you smoke weed, it's going to be the last time.
Jesus.
I'm like, oh, man. You know, so I was scared for about 2 hours and went straight back to smoking weed. See, there are some that come and they respond for a moment and then they go back out. Because there's a difference between hearing something and feeling it to be true and then knowing in your heart for sure that it is true.
Yeah.
Because if you know that it's true, then it's going to change. It's going to do. It's going to cause a change on the inside. You're going to be uncomfortable with what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, I started being uncomfortable with smoking weed. I started being uncomfortable with drinking beer and liquor. Come on now. I was uncomfortable with smoking cigarettes, and I was coming in the house of God. I was uncomfortable. I began to believe what I was hearing. It began to get in my heart and in my mind, and it caused a transformation.
Yes, Lord.
Come on now.
Thank you, Jesus.
The Bible declares that God sent forth his word and he delivered them.
Yes.
So deliverance can come through a word when it is received.
Yes, Lord.
Come on, Jesus. It'll bring deliverance to a person's life.
Yes, it will.
Come on now. And then that person will begin to change their life, and then they begin to respond to the things of God, then God will begin to say, hey, he's making an effort. She's making an effort. Let me step in.
Yeah,
come on now. Come on now. After I responded, it didn't take long for God to start speaking to me. Ah, come on, Jesus. It didn't take long for me to learn the voice of God for myself. It didn't. Now, I had somebody who was more seasoned to let me know what was going on, but what I was hearing and feeling was real. Come on, Jesus. I began to develop my own personal relationship with God.
Jesus.
And that's what we need to teach the people how to do, develop their own personal relationship with God. Don't depend on me.
That's
don't
right.
depend on the pastor. Don't depend on the apostle, because they're not going to be there with you.
That's right.
They're not there in your personal secret place with God.
My Jesus.
Most apostles not going to tell you that. I believe, honestly, the real heart of a real apostle of God is to see the people of God released into their destiny.
Teach that. Jesus.
I believe the real heart of an apostle is to see the people of God moving in the things of God and demonstrating the kingdom.
Yeah. Oh,
anybody, any pastor that tries to keep the people of God in one place, I don't trust that. Because me, 5 years from now, I don't want you looking in my face.
Come on now.
I want you going forth in what God has called you to do.
My Jesus.
It don't take God that long.
Jesus.
It don't take God that long.
God, I love you.
To develop a relationship with you. Come on now. Every believer ought to be moving in signs and wonders. Deliverance is not a specified ministry. Everybody talking about, well, everybody don't have a deliverance ministry. Everybody don't have a healing ministry. That's a lie.
I'm lying. Go ahead and teach it.
The Bible says that these signs shall follow them that believe.
Come on.
In my name, they shall cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They shall take up serpents. They shall speak with what? New tongues.
Yes, Lord.
The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for every believer. Jesus.
That's right.
Come on, the empowerment of God is for every believer. Now understand that when you walk in the ministry, gifts like apostle, prophet, whatever, you see, there may be more authority backing you in demonstration, but every believer is supposed to move in something.
All right.
Every believer.
Jesus.
I question any person in Christ. Now, I'm not talking about ministry gifts. I'm talking about just being a believer now. I question any person in Christ who is not moving in the demonstration of the power of God. Come on now. I question that. Because it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. It goes back to believing again. See, because once you're a believer, that's it. Once you begin to step into the grace of God, come on now, because we're saved by grace through faith. By faith, we enter into the grace of God, and by the grace of God, we can obtain salvation. Come on now. So when you get to that place of being a believer and start moving in grace, then you can move in demonstration.
All right.
Honestly, I believe that this is the hour. Where even babes in Christ will move in demonstration.
Amen.
Babes in Christ will move in demonstration of the kingdom. I strongly believe that. We got to stop trying to hold everything for ourselves, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers.
Yes, Lord.
Freely, Jesus told his apostles, freely you receive, freely give.
Yes.
Lay hands on your people and activate them into their destiny.
My God.
Come on now. You can't keep them under you.
Come on.
Come on now.
You, all right.
They're only supposed to serve and get your water for a season.
Mm.
Come on now.
Jesus.
And while they're getting your water, you ought to be imparting some things in them, getting them ready for whatever God called them to do.
Come on.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be serving your water forever.
Jesus.
They're going to be serving your water for 2 or 3 years. The devil is a liar.
Yes, he is.
Time for them to move up.
Come on, come on.
Me, I don't want no. I don't want nobody getting my water. That's just me personally.
I get my own water
and tote my own Bible and whatever I need to do, I can do it myself.
Amen, amen.
All right.
Jesus himself will have to come and tell me I need armor bearer. Other than that, no. Because, see, I'm going to tell you something. Being in ministry, I've seen, and understand that I am young in ministry, but I have seen a lot, okay?
Uh-huh.
I've seen a lot, been through a lot, been involved in a lot. God brought me out of a lot. So for me to be as young as I am, you know, I've seen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and I've seen horror stories in ministry. I really have. I've seen pastors abuse their authority with their flock
mm-hmm.
on multiple occasions. I've seen pastors be disobedient to God concerning their own call, causing that disobedience to leak off on the flock. Come on now.
Jesus.
Because, see, what's on the head is eventually going to come down on the body and spray it like a cancer.
Mm.
Come on now. See, if a shepherd is really shepherding, they're going to notice a wolf when they come in. Come on now. They're going to notice a wolf when it comes in to destroy and divide the sheep. Come on now, Jesus. But nothing should be coming from the head down to the body and causing the sheep to be sick.
Come on, say that.
The head is supposed to be the protector. If you're the head of a flock, you're supposed to be protecting your sheep. You're supposed to be a watchman on the wall in the spirit over the sheep that God has given you and to be faithful over. It's time to push the people of God into their destiny.
Amen.
There are a lot of entrepreneurs in the kingdom. Understand that, you know, the purpose of finances is to build the kingdom, okay?
Uh-huh.
There's nothing wrong with finances. It's just when you start loving it.
Come on, say that.
And the love of money calls you to do a lot of things that are not of God.
Oh, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. See, the love of money. Money itself not evil, because the Bible says money answers all things.
Amen.
But it is the love of money that is the root of all evil. Some people say, well, God called me to be an entrepreneur. Yeah, what did he call you to be an entrepreneur for?
All right.
God ain't calling you to build your kingdom.
Amen.
Huh. See, we got too many people trying to build their own empires. See, that's when you stop moving out of the grace of God and start getting into the law, your own works.
Go ahead.
Come on now.
Jesus.
You start going by your own works. If God bless you to be an entrepreneur, then understand that if God prosper your business, it is so that you can prosper and advance the kingdom of God.
Uh-huh.
Come on now. See, this kind of a touchy subject for people. See, I question a lot of these so-called prosperity ministers out there. First of all, prosperity is no specified ministry. There's no such thing as a money prophet, because but so many people make money their ministry. They make money the focal point of their message.
Jeez.
That part I don't agree with, and it don't line up with the Word of God.
Right.
Some people won't even, Lord have mercy, I'm about to give you
some.
Some people won't even pray with you or give you whatever it is the Lord is speaking unless you give her money.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You go in there and you get them old green handkerchiefs and them red handkerchiefs and that water and that, now they got prophetic soap.
My God.
Yeah, Bernard Jordan, the master prophet, he got prophetic soap. What is that? You know, but understand that, you know, it may say free. Well, Bernard Jordan, he let you know it ain't free. But but the rest of them, they be like, get your free this, get your free that. Then after a while, they be like, the Lord says, sow a seed of such and such and such and such to activate a blessing.
That's right, that's right.
There's always a scam behind it.
Amen, amen.
And you tell me that's God. You tell me if that's God or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the grace of God. That's not freely if you receive, freely give. Uh-oh.
Come on.
Isn't that what Jesus told the apostles, right? Freely you have received, freely give.
That's right.
But it looks to me like you're charging.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they got a conference for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now.
Jesus.
How to get rich conference.
Jesus.
How to shave your head conference. All kind of conferences.
Mm.
Come on now. How to live your best life now conference.
My Lord.
Jesus.
Come on now.
Haven't
y'all noticed all these conferences that everybody's having? And you always paying these high price admission fees for these old tickets. $50 for a ticket. You know how much 30,000 tickets for $50, how much that'll bring?
Not cheap.
I'm telling you, it's a scam.
Yes, it is.
And God is going to expose it.
Amen.
Because, understand this, there's nothing wrong with blessing the kingdom.
That's right.
But God goes by the intention of your heart, I'm telling you.
Uh-huh.
He goes by the intention of your heart. And in this hour, the Lord says that he's exposing the heart of man.
My Lord.
So if there's any impure motives from the head on down, from the highest, to the lowest, for the ones that are known publicly and the ones that are not known publicly. This goes for everybody.
Come on.
Uh-huh.
God is exposing the heart of man. He is exposing the intentions of your heart in this hour. If your heart is not found upright before the Lord, you will know it.
Mm.
And if you don't allow God to correct the problem in you, everybody else going to know it too.
Say that. Yes, Lord.
Jesus.
My God.
See, it's a lot that's coming with moving in the grace of God. But so many people now are insulting grace.
Mm.
They're insulting grace. And when you insult grace, there's nothing else left for you.
Mm.
Let me read something real quick.
My Lord.
And I'm going back to, the scripture that I read before, the scripture in Hebrews 10, starting at 26, it says, For if we sin willfully after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. I told you earlier that when you willfully sin and you receive the knowledge of the truth about the sin and how God feels about it, and you do it anyway, you are not exempt from this. There is no more atonement for that, because the word a sacrifice means atonement. So there's no more sacrifice for sin. The blood of Jesus does not atone for rebellion.
Mm.
It does not. And we need to start teaching this. It'll probably scare some folks into living a righteous life.
Amen.
Some of us need some fear instilled in us. Because if you're not covered in the blood of Jesus, that means if you die today, you're going to bust hell wide open.
Uh-huh.
If you're in your flesh, because I already described that earlier, I spoke, I said that flesh Come on now. It's already a destined for hell. Come on now. It says, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries.
Jesus.
So if you insult the grace of God, if you and I insult the grace of God by sinning willfully after we receive the knowledge of truth, then God said that there's judgment. You're going to get the same thing his enemies get, because now you've put yourself in a position where you have become an enemy of God because you're coming against him. Because when you come against something, when God say don't do something and you do it anyway, that's coming against God, because he's giving you specific instructions as being sovereign God Almighty, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and you still rebelled against the commandments of the Lord.
Amen.
It says, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Remember I told you, rebellion back then, God killed you in the Old Testament?
Mm-hmm.
You had no mercy?
My Lord.
Come on now. It says, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy?
Mm-hmm.
So, don't you think you're going to get the same thing?
Jesus.
Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Who have trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified in holy thing, and have done despite unto the spirit of what? Grace.
Grace. Jesus.
Ah, Jesus.
My Lord.
So you're committing an act against the grace of God if we walk in continual sin. Come on now.
Mm.
It says, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people.
Jesus.
My Lord.
Oh, come on now. He didn't say judge the world. He said his people.
Yes, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
In the book of Hebrews, he was addressing the Hebrews.
Mm.
The Hebrews who converted to the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. Because, see, the Hebrew church, the Hebrews back then, they had a little issue with the law. They had a little issue because they're so used to doing things according to the law. And some of them started drifting back to what they already knew.
Mm.
So the apostle had to write them and said, look, because of what Jesus did, it's no longer by the law. Come on now.
Mm.
It's no longer by your own works. It's no longer by you being a bull. Come on now.
Jesus.
To the priest.
Come on.
It's no longer by what you do, but it has everything to do with what he has already done.
Yeah.
All you got to do is respond and accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Come on now. All you got to do is believe in your heart, and when you believe in your heart, it's going to govern what you do, because faith without works is dead. So when you begin to respond in faith to the things of God, then you begin to step into the grace of God. Come on now. And then when you're in the grace of God, that's when your flaws don't matter. Abraham lied and told his wife to say, look, tell him you're my sister. He lied right after God called him out.
Go ahead.
He did. That was a flaw. I'm not excusing lying.
That's right.
But that was when Abraham first came out, y'all. Make sure I make that clear. That's when he first came out. Understand that when sinners come into the kingdom, they're going to have a lot of flaws with them.
Yes, they are.
But they moved in faith, and now they up in the church. Come on now. So that's when the Spirit of God begins to work in their life. Flaws and all. He came from being a liar to the father of what many nations?
Jesus.
He came from being an idolater to being the father of many nations, many ethnic backgrounds, people from ethnic backgrounds. Come on now. In the Bible, I touched on this a little bit. It says the Bible says that not everybody who's physically descended of Israel is Israel. Come on now. A Jew is one that is one inwardly. Come on now. So what is it saying? Because it said Israel had all the laws, the covenants, and everything like that. It says, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees, saying that, hey, look, you say you are descendant of, you say Abraham is your father, but really your father ain't Abraham, it's the devil. You do the works of your father. If Abraham was your father, you do the works of Abraham.
That's right.
Come on now. So Abraham is the father of many nations. He's the prime example of what faith is. Come on now. He responded to God. So when we begin to respond like Abraham did, Abraham becomes our forefather, and we become joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Come on now. We become heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, entitled to the covenant. See, Israel went from being a natural people to a spiritual people. The Bible says that Jesus came and broke down the wall of division between Jews and Gentiles, bringing them together as what? One new man. Uh-oh. And a lot of people say, well, that's replacement theology and all this old other stuff. I'm not saying that. That replacement theology stuff, that's partially true. Because, see, you got some people that are physically, according to their bloodline, descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but the only way to hell.
That's right.
Come on. Salvation comes through Jesus and Jesus alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of the, what they call the Jews today, amen, they don't believe in Jesus. So if you don't believe in Jesus, then you're rejecting your only source of salvation. That
Jesus.
Means you're trying to operate by the law.
That's right.
When God has said now that the time of operating in the law is over with, it's now by the grace of God that you're saved. Not by outward ritual acts of cleansing or you bringing a bull or a goat, come on now, to present to the priest so the priest can present it to God.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. But now we have access to God by ourselves. See, in the Old Testament, everybody didn't have access to God. It was the priest and
right.
the prophet. Come on now.
It's all right.
And the kings occasionally heard from God, but not like the priests and the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Now everybody can have a relationship with God.
That's right.
Matter of fact, that was God's intention from the first beginning when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. He said, I'm going to make you a kingdom of priests, meaning that all of you, I'm giving all of you a chance to have a personal, intimate relationship with me, because understand that the priests were the ones that went behind the veil. Come on now. The priests were
uh-huh.
the ones that experienced the glory of God. They slept under the glory. Come on. They worked
That's
under awesome. The glory because they worked in the temple.
Jesus.
Ah, so that's what God's intention was from the beginning. But they kept rebelling against him.
Mm-hmm.
They rebelled against the leadership of Moses. They rebelled against God. They kept whining and murmuring and complaining. The Bible says that they did not enter into the rest of God because of what? Unbelief.
Jesus.
Read it in the book of Hebrews. And the Bible declares, it tells us not to follow the same example of unbelief. Huh, Jesus. Don't follow that same example. Understand that they had every reason to believe God. Every reason. They had every reason to believe God. God done split the Red Sea, had all the plagues in Egypt. The staff turned into a snake, ate the other magician snakes up. They had no excuse not to believe God. Come on now.
That's good.
Soon as they reached the hump, they start murmuring and complaining. How you going to complain against God? After what he just did for you. Come on now. Understand that if God can deliver you out of something, he can deliver you into something.
Yes, he could.
If he took you out of bondage, he didn't take you out of bondage to kill you. If that was the case, he would have let you stay in bondage and suffer.
That's right.
But how soon we forget, my God. We understand that when we step out of faith, come on, and when we step out of faith, we begin to step into the law of our own works.
Jeez.
People who don't have faith, they tend to do things themselves, and it's more of a weight on you, too.
Uh-huh.
Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light.
Say that.
So if your burden is heavy, and it's heavy for a long time, then you got a question. Am I doing this thing, or is God doing it?
Say it.
Hi. Yes, Lord Jesus. Come on, Jesus. I felt that in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah,
that was somebody on this line. My God.
Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
I receive.
Jesus. Come on now. So understand that it's not by our own works. It's by the grace. We got to begin to live under the grace of God. You can only enter into the grace of God through faith.
Yeah.
Through faith. And while you're under the grace of God, you're working towards obtaining salvation. It is an ongoing, progressive thing. We must die to our flesh, what? Daily.
Jesus.
Hi, Jesus.
Mm.
You can't have one day in the spirit and then one day in the flesh and think you just going to automatically go back in the spirit.
Come on.
My God.
See, I don't agree with that thing where it says, you know, you can't be in the spirit all the time. The devil is a lie. I live, eat, sleep, breathe Jesus in the spirit. Come on now.
All right.
I spend half the day praying in the Holy Ghost.
Mm.
Come on now. I stay in the spirit. I have to. I have to stay in the spirit. I spend half the day praying the Holy Ghost. I sure do. Bible says pray without ceasing, so I pray without ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
I live a lifestyle of prayer. I live a lifestyle of communication with God. I'm always open to the things of God. My spirit man is always open to receive from God. That's why I can eat a piece of chicken and hear from God.
Jesus.
I can go in a restaurant and understand that I don't keep the gospel to myself. I do minister to other people. I do minister to the lost. Amen. All of us have a duty to minister to the lost, evangelists or no evangelists. Amen. But I could be in Golden Corral somewhere eating chicken or steak or something, and the Lord speak to me in the midst. You could be talking to me, but if God starts speaking to me, I'm going to start tuning you out and hear what God is saying.
Go ahead.
But see, when you walk in the Spirit, that don't mean you got to huck them and see all day long. That's just what I choose to do. The Bible says when you pray in the Spirit, you build up your most holy faith. Come on now. But understand that your mindset, your walk, your whole life, everything about you must line up with the Word of God in order to even be able to walk in the Spirit. No flesh should have no room to operate in your body. You want to know how you really walk in the Spirit? Certain programming on TV won't grieve you. You ain't saved. You are not a Christian if you watch Jerry Springer.
Amen.
That's not Christ-like. Amen.
Amen.
Maury Povich ain't Christ-like. Well, I know I'm messing with some folks a television channel. BET ain't Christ-like. Come on now.
Mm.
That ain't Christ-like. If we are indulging in these things that grieve the Holy Spirit, the Bible says grieve not the Holy Spirit. Understand that we are the temple of God where the Holy Spirit is supposed to dwell. We are not to defile the temple. But so many people are defiling the temple. Understand that when you know to do something, not saying you're going to be perfect, dot every I and cross every T, but when you know to do something and you purposely do the opposite, that goes for me, you, everybody. If we purposely go against what God says, we are insulting the grace of God. Rebellion is insulting the grace of God. When you live in a continual state of rebellion, you insult the grace of God. And when you insult the grace of God, the Bible says you're in danger of the judgment of God. Because now you're putting yourself in the category of an enemy of God. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm finna wrap this up in a little bit, but, you know, I pray that you all was blessed today, amen, because I was blessed too. Amen. I'm finna really, really, really go in prayer and check myself too. Amen. Understand that a prophet is first partaker of their word.
Right.
And, you know, understand too that every prophet lives out their message. So whatever word that you give, whatever word that I give, we are first partakers of the word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You got so many people now that are not living what they're preaching. They're walking in a hypocritical spirit. And that spirit is leaking off on the body too. Now that spirit is causing people to talk about the word, speak in tongues, roll over the flow, and then go back home and still living in sin. The devil is a liar. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We got to walk holy and upright before the Lord. We got to be real about this thing. And like I said, remember, it's not by our own works, but it's everything with Jesus. It has everything to do with what Jesus did. And then he said he going to send the Comforter. He sent the Spirit of truth to lead and guide us into all truth. So if you have the Spirit of God and you are hearkening unto the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and whatever it is that he's telling you, because he's always going to tell you something that's going to line up with his word. He's never going to tell you anything that is not lined up in the word. Come on now. If you're submitting yourself to the counsel of the Holy Spirit, then understand that you're not going to go wrong. He's going to keep you. God is a keeper. Come on now. The grace of God will keep you. Even when you make a mistake and don't mean to do it, the grace of God keeps you. It kept Abraham. Come on. So that'll do away with all that self-condemnation too, because a lot of people get caught up in self-condemnation because they're trying to walk upright and then they make a mistake. They don't intend to do it, but they end up doing it. Then they get to beat themselves up in the head. They beat themselves up. The Bible says there's no condemnation to those that are in who? Christ Jesus, right? So if you're in your heart, you desire in your heart to walk in the things of God and begin to make that step towards walking in the things of God, come on now, and you mess up, God goes by the intention of your heart. The Bible says man goes on the outside of a thing, of a person. Man goes by the outside appearance. But God goes by the intentions of your heart. You see, and like I said earlier, the heart of you and I is what God's going to judge in this hour. Come on now. And the intentions of our heart is going to be made known. So now is the time to examine our hearts and see if it's truly lined up with the will of God, with the things of God, if our heart is really lined up with the Spirit of God, the vision and the plan of God for this hour. If not, God is going to expose it. None of us are exempt from it.
That's right.
So for those who feel bad because you messed up, let me tell you something. God is not condemning you. The grace of God is here because of what Jesus did on the cross. You don't have to walk in condemnation. The Bible says if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and what cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Come on now. He's able to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Come on now. He'll blot it out, never to bring it up to you again. Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
So get out of that self-pity mode. Come on now. Get back to the place where you was in God. I feel like I'm talking to somebody, a couple of people. Get back to that place in God that you once were before you fell. Get back to that place. I'm reminded of this scripture. Paul said he had a thorn in his side. And my God, he had a thorn in his side. And he said it was a messenger of Satan to come and to buffet me.
Uh-huh.
And he said he asked God three times to remove it and take it away. And you know what the Lord spoke to him? He said, my grace,
Jesus.
My God, my grace is sufficient for thee. Huh? My grace. So I'm talking to a few people now. Come on now. That have got caught up in some things. But their heart is in the right place for God, and they're trying to move and get back to that place in God that they once was. And it is like the enemy has sent his messengers at you to torment you, my God, and to remind you constantly of where you once were, and you're not there now.
Jesus.
Understand that God is able to restore. He's able to restore any and everybody who wants to be restored. And I speak prophetically in your life now that this is the hour of restoration for you. Uh-huh. Come on now. God, this is the hour, come on now, where you will begin to walk by the faith that you already have in God. Come on now. You will begin to really walk accordingly to it. Come on now. You begin to move in the grace of God. And when you're moving in the grace of God, condemnation cannot come where the grace of God is at. Come on now, because Jesus already died on the cross for every sin that we will commit. So this is your hour of restoration. This is the hour of the healing that's going to take place in your heart, because I'm feeling that, like I'm talking to somebody now, you've been hurt a lot by the church. You've been hurt a lot, matter of fact, by life. Come on now, but I'm feeling particularly in the area of the church. People have hurt you. Come on now. And the enemy has come to try to make you bitter, but still in all, you try to hold on to God with everything that you got. God said your struggle is over.
Oh, glory.
See, your struggle is over. Come on now. Because as you begin to move by faith, as you begin to walk and declare to the enemy, look, you cannot condemn me because the grace of God covers me. Come on now. And walk accordingly to it. Watch how fast that rascal disappear from your life. Watch that voice of condemnation begin to disappear. Come on now. That voice of condemnation will begin to disappear. A messenger of Satan has been sent to you to bring condemnation, to bring guilt, and to even try to sow doubt, because the devil knows that when you are walking in doubt, you can't walk in faith. When you walk in fear, you don't walk in faith. And when you don't walk in faith, you can't please God, and it ties the hands of God from being able to work in your life. But your struggle is over. The Lord told me to tell you that your struggle is over.
Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Your struggle is over. You don't have to walk in condemnation. My God. God is good. Amen.
Yeah.
He is a gracious, a loving, a merciful God. He will treat our sins as they deserve. And for that, myself and you, everybody, ought to be at a place of gratefulness to God. There should be nothing that God asks us for that we are not willing to give him. Because if it had not been for him, we would be dying right now. We would be dead right now. Matter of fact, if it had not been for Jesus, God probably would have destroyed the earth with fire years ago. And none of us would have been able to be born into this world. And sometimes you got to go back and, you know, even with all the revelation and all the mysteries and all the knowledge of the Bible and the deep things of God, sometimes we got to go back to the foundation of a thing. Come on now. And refresh ourselves again. Because sometimes we get the moving, and especially those of us that are in ministry or those of us who are busy in everyday life, you know, we get to moving around and moving and stuff, and then, you know, sometimes we begin to forget about the grace of God, and we begin to really, like, you know, start doing things by our own works and by our own efforts. Come on now. Sometimes we forget and we got to remind ourselves. You know, so that's why I'm glad today that this segment was presented today, and that the Lord put it in my spirit to really talk about moving in the grace of God. Because in order to be effective in the kingdom of God, you must be under the grace of God. And you can't be in the grace of God unless it's through you responding to the things of God in faith. Amen. And a salvation will eventually be obtained when we continue in the grace of God. Grace is like that secret place. It's like that place of covering. Come on, when you're under the grace covering, come on now. There's no good thing that God will withhold from you. Come on now. That's the place where you can have that intimate relationship with God, because now you're under that blood covering. Because understand that God cannot see us unless it's through the eyes of Jesus Christ and through the blood of Jesus. Come on now. It's by the blood of Jesus that God is even able to come in and communicate with us and work with us and, you know, show up in our lives. It's by the blood of Jesus that these things are able to come about in our lives. Amen. And we have to remember that and never forget. Sometimes we forget what Jesus did on the cross for us and the benefits behind what Jesus did on the cross. Amen. We never forget the benefits. Amen. Forget not the benefits of God in our lives as a result of grace. Amen. We become a people. We become a spiritual people. And the same inheritance and the same promises and the covenants and everything like that that Israel had, we're entitled to it, because now you and I are grafted in and into the covenant, and we become one. Amen. We become one new man. In the spirit realm, the Bible says, in the spirit there's no Jews, no Gentiles. Come on now. So it don't matter about your ethnic background. It doesn't matter what color of your skin. Come on now. Yeah. The only thing that matters is the grace of God.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that matters is the grace of God. The only thing God cares about is the fact that you believe him or not.
Jesus.
Come on now. So it's not by my own works, it's not by your own works, but it's by his grace. Amen, amen, amen. I would like to thank you all today for coming on. I see there's a guest, 11, amen. I'm looking at the chat board right now. Is somebody calling from North Carolina?
Yes, sir. My name is Sybil Drake. I'm your friend on Facebook, and I had pulled your name up, and I saw the conference. Teleconference, so I decided to call to see what was going on.
Amen. 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 It's glad to have you on. And it's not by coincidence that you're on either, because the Lord had gave me a word for you a while back, but I had started to type it to you, and then the computer shut down.
Jesus.
The computer shut down, and I'm like, man, you know, and then I tried to give you the word again because couldn't remember it.
Mm-hmm.
I could not even remember the word. But there is a strong prophetic gift that God has placed upon your life. And I'm pretty sure you know that you have a strong gifting in the prophetic. And in this hour, God is fine-tuning, you know, those things that concern the ministry that he's placed on the inside of you. Amen. It concerns, my God, I'm seeing some more people come on. But, yeah, God is perfecting those things which concern
God,
you.
Jesus.
And yesterday he had gave me that scripture. It says that I will perfect those things that concern you. And he that begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ.
Yeah.
And the Lord has let me know that that scripture is for you. And you have experienced a lot, you know, even in the areas of hurt, you know, people that were supposed to be for you, and, you know, they're not for you at all, you know. But the Lord says that if I be for you, who can be against you?
Thank you.
And this is the hour where God is restoring his people, you know, and God is going to restore a lot of things to you. Because even in you trying to walk in the things of God, I feel like you lost some things too, you know. But those things that you lost, God is going to return it to you double fold. You know, he's going to restore everything about you, everything. And the ministry that God has placed in you. See, like I said earlier, every prophet lives out a message. Every prophet lives out their message, you see. And see, you've been living out the message in which God's going to have you to proclaim. See, understand that what grieves us the most or causes us the most or heartache or pain, that's what we are assigned to correct. That's what we are assigned to correct. So the Lord says, fret not thyself, my daughter. Because of evildoers.
My Jesus.
Come on now. Because they already have their reward. Come on now. You continue to stand. Hear?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
You continue to stand. Yes, Lord.
The
Lord says you continue to stand. I just hear the word stand. I'm going to tell you something. I feel your pain.
Because
I'm going to tell you something. You know, I had to endure a lot. You know, and I always like to give myself as an example, too. You know, because especially in an area where I know I can identify with, I can identify with what you're going through. I mean, it may not be the same situation, but understand that when I was in my fire and when I was going through my trials, I wanted to escape so bad because, see, when I don't like something, I'm used to running away. I was used to running away from it. You see, but God said, no, you got to face this thing. This is what you are assigned to bring down. But you have to endure the suffering of it first. Come on now. The prophets in the Old Testament, they lived out their message. Ezekiel laid on his side for a certain amount of days, symbolizing how many days Israel and Judah, symbolizing how many years Israel and Judah was going to be in captivity. Come on now. And I believe it was Isaiah that had to walk around naked. And then not only that, God told him, look, get your stuff, prepare for removal. Take your stuff from one place to another in the daytime. And that symbolizes that symbolized the removal of Israel from the place that they were to the place of captivity. So understand that what you're experiencing now, you are living out the message that God, come on, Jesus, has called you to proclaim.
Yes, Lord.
Every prophet lives out their message. But in the midst of it, God is going to give you strength to endure.
Yes, Lord.
And your enduring is not going to be as strong, not going to be as long as you think it's going to be.
Thank you, Lord.
But while you're in it now, you must endure.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. You have to endure. But God said, I'm with you in the midst of you enduring.
Yes, Lord.
Come on now. God said, I'm with you in the midst. Continue to walk by faith. There's even, I'm even seeing there's times where, the enemy has come and tried to bring discouragement your way.
Yes.
The enemy has come and tried to speak in your ear, telling you that it's never going to change. It's always going to be this way.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
The enemy has come to try to get you to move out of position, to try to get you to try to fix it in your own strength. You can't fix it in your own strength.
Jesus, that's right. Thank you, Jesus.
God said he will not put no more on you than you can bear.
Thank you,
Jesus. Ha.
Thank
you. So be strong and very courageous, the Lord said.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Be strong and very courageous. And let not the word of God. Wait a minute, I want to say it like God is saying it. Okay. Always confess and speak those things that line up with the word of God.
Yes,
yes.
Never speak defeat, because a lot of times in the midst of our frustration, we speak defeat. I've been guilty of that, and I've suffered for what I've spoken to. I've been guilty of that before and had to suffer for it. Never speak defeat. Come on now.
Amen.
Whatever God has shown you, you speak it. Whatever's in that word, you speak it.
Yes, Lord.
The power is in you. You have the power in your tongue to determine the outcome of your situation.
Yes, Lord.
It may be hard on your mind, you know, and even now I speak peace to your mind, too, because you know, the enemy comes to try to torment sometimes. I'm seeing that, but, you know, I believe after the night I speak it into your life now that's gone in Jesus' name.
Yes,
and everything that is around you that's not right is going to have to line up with the things of God, too, because I feel like there's some things around you that's not lined up with the things of God.
Yes, Lord.
There's some things around you that are not lined up, and you know what I'm talking about. There's some things around you that are not lined up. But as you continue to stand, come on now, and believe and move in the things of the kingdom and begin to tap into what God has already placed in you, the authority is in you. As you begin to move in those things, everything around you and everybody around you, come on now, because I'm feeling some people, everybody around you is going to have no choice but to line up with the things of God,
yes,
especially if y'all staying in the same household.
Yes, Lord. I believe that. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. I believe that. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes,
Lord. Yes,
The Lord told me to tell you that he got you. The Lord told me to tell you that he got you. Here? He got you.
He got. Thank you, Lord.
He said, I know what I'm doing. You might not know what I'm doing, but the Lord says, I know what I'm doing.
Yes.
I'm preparing you for something greater, the Lord says. I'm preparing you for something greater. My God, I remember when I was in this place. My God, this is something you have to endure.
Yes.
I remember I used to beg God. I said, God, can I please leave this place? I said, Lord, this is not lined up with the word of God. I said, can I please go? Can I please just go and do something else? The Lord said, no, you can't, not right now. Now is not the time.
Jesus.
Your time is soon, but it's not now. So your time of this passing is not now, but it's soon to come. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to know when your breakthrough is coming. You're going to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
I felt, even in the midst of that, I felt when God was about to bust me loose.
My Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. But God is teaching you some things in the midst. And like I said, I don't know what you're going through. Normally God give me details. But this must be very personal between you and God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And while you're in this season of your life, God is going to be even fine tuning.
Hello.
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 I think he dropped.
It's just like the end.
Yeah,
Jesus.
I dropped for a little while too.
Oh
Jesus, Lord God, He's gonna have us. We bind it in the name of Jesus, Lord God.
Jesus.
We bind everything in the atmosphere now in the name of Jesus. We bind up retaliation. We bind up backlash in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over the atmosphere, over us, over apostle, under apostle, through the atmosphere,
the
Lord God. I say in the name of Jesus, and
the
say we command you to loose it now in the name of Jesus.
Come on now.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
The devil is a liar, amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Come on now. Ain't nobody mad but the devil, right?
Yeah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Because you know what? Because you know what, woman of God, Sybil? You're getting free from some stuff right now.
Amen.
God is setting you free. God is removing all the extra weight off of you so that you can endure.
Yes,
amen.
Lord.
Come on now. He's removing the extra baggage. And the only thing that you're going to tote is what God wants you to tote. The devil is a liar. See, he'll want you to be free. But I decree and declare that you're free already in Jesus' name. But you have to continue to endure. And God is fine-tuning your giftings too, because I really feel a strong gift of the discerning of spirits. You have a real strong discernment about you. You know, I really feel that, and God is teaching you discernment. He's teaching you wisdom. Matter of fact, He's teaching you how to stand, because you can't walk in the ministry that God has called you to walk in, and you have no standing power.
Amen.
So in this hour, God is calling you to stand even more so, to teach you. He's teaching you how to stand, because when the Lord release you into your destiny and the ministry that He's called you to, it's going to call for you to be able to stand. So as you're standing now and from this day forward, you continue to speak life to your situation. Demonstrate the kingdom. Your believer is in you. Come on now.
Yes, Lord.
Paul said we have this treasure that's in earthen vessels. I believe the Apostle Paul was talking about the kingdom.
Yes.
Jesus said the kingdom don't come with observation. It don't come with what you see, but the kingdom of God is within you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jesus.
So God is causing us as believers to demonstrate what is in us. And as we begin to move forward in faith under the grace of God, then the kingdom of God can be demonstrated in our lives, through us. Come on now. So a lot of things happen or is allowed to take place in our lives, too, is because we fail to take authority over a thing.
My Jesus.
That's
right. Jesus, Lord God.
See, we don't take, we don't exercise our authority as believers enough. Now, I ain't talking about being an apostle, prophet, none of that stuff. I'm talking about being a believer.
Come on now.
Because there's certain things that come with being a believer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get into the ministry gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, you're talking about greater levels of that authority and greater demonstration.
Amen.
But every believer has authority over the works of the enemy in their lives, around them, in the lives of others. Come on. No devil in hell should be able to stay around you.
That's right, that's right.
Jesus.
Come on now. Matter of fact, the devil shouldn't be able to stay in you.
Mm.
Just the thought of you ought to make him nauseous.
Jesus.
Come on now, as a believer.
All right.
Now, when you start walking in your in the authority of a prophet or whatever ministry gift that God has called you to, then there's greater measure in that authority and that demonstration. But as a believer, the devil ought to be shaken in his boots at the thought and the sight of you.
Amen.
So that's what God is raising you up for. You have to take authority over your situation.
Mm.
Come on now. You have to know exactly who you are. Because I even feel, my God, that the enemy has come to try to steal your identity in God. Come on now. The devil has come to even try to punk you.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. And that's not even your personality.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. That's Holy Ghost there. That's not even your personality. Come on now. So he's trying to cause you to do something that's totally against or what you was like anyway, even when you was not saved.
Hmm.
Hmm. So now what is God calling you to do? He's calling you to rise up in your authority. Even while you're standing, even while God is fine-tuning you, you see, rise up in the authority as a believer. Come on now. It begins to take over the atmosphere in your house. Begin to take over those things that are coming up against you. That spirit of torment sometimes that try to come at your mind and try to play little games and try to remind you of stuff that don't even matter and stuff that's covered under the blood.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Once again, the Lord told me to tell you, be strong and very courageous. Amen.
Amen.
And the Lord says also that it's well. Here.
Amen. Thank you, God.
Thank you,
Father. Jesus.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We have a, let me see. Somebody calling from Chicago, Illinois? Caller from Chicago, Illinois? Are you there?
Yes.
Amen. Who am I speaking with?
This is Pastor Mosley from Chicago.
Oh, Pastor Joseph Mosley.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, sir?
I'm blessed, blessed, blessed. Awesome line.
Amen, amen, amen. My God, my God. I remember speaking with you. My goodness, Jesus. My God, you have a heavy assignment upon your life. I'm pretty sure you know that, right?
Yes, sir.
And a lot of things that God has given you, you know, the vision that he's given you, a lot of things he's given you to do, a lot of things that he has given you, my God, there's so much, Jesus. Lord, have mercy.
Yes, Lord.
The Lord says that in this season in your life, you are, matter of fact, you are at the threshold of the greatest move of God in your life.
Yes.
You're at the threshold of the greatest move of God in your life. And I see some hindrances too, that's been strategically planted in your life by the enemy. On the slick. You see, the enemy try to do it under your nose, you see. But this is the hour where those hindrances are finna be moved out of the way. I see about three hindrances in particular. Details God has not given me, but I see three hindrances. That's the best way I can explain what I'm seeing right now, my God. But those things are finna be removed out of your life. Even things that is blocking you and blocking some things concerning the ministry.
Yeah.
You know, God is finna remove that too. And you're finna to rise up. God is finna give you a new authority, and he's giving you a new boldness in the things of God.
Amen.
And see, when you teach and when you minister the word of God, God is really, really, really going to give you a lot of authority. I'm reminded of the scripture where Jesus had a preach, and the people said, "Who is this man that teach with such great authority?"
Yes.
God is sent to unlock that authority on the inside of you, and it's been to bubble forth, and it's been to come out of you in this season because you have a strong ability to teach the word of God.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
And God has given you a lot of insight into the things of God. He's given you even some revelation concerning, you know, where we at as a body of Christ. You know, you are a very strong as far as prophecy is concerned too.
Yeah,
I really feel that. You're very strong in the prophetic, but there's even an apostolic grace that God is finna bestow upon your life. And you're going to begin to move and demonstrate in the apostolic. I don't know if God dealt with you on that or not, but God is going to begin to move you in that realm. You see, and you're going to begin to move and demonstrate. See, that's where the authority is going to come from. Because see, apostles, we walk in great authority. We teach in great authority.
That's right. Yeah.
And that apostolic authority is really finna to be unlocked in you. And a lot of people, matter of fact, people are going to see it on you now. You see, because your personality, you know, sometimes you're kind of like a laid-back guy.
Yes, yes.
You're kind of like a laid-back guy. You know, that's your personality. But people are going to see the authority of God upon you. Come on now. They're going to see it. Your demeanor is going to change. I even sometimes see when that boldness rise up in you and that anointing begin to start working in your life, I even see your posture changing, the way you walk. Come on now. Because understanding when we are moving in the things of the Spirit, come on now, sometimes even the way we walk change, our speech changes. Come on now. So I even see that happening in your life. Also, a lot of healings is going to take place too. You have a strong gifting in the area of healing, you know, and God is really, really, really going to bring that gift to a place where it's flourishing like never before. You're just going to go forth and demonstrate the things of the kingdom. And there are a lot of things too that you desire to see come to pass for the ministry. There's a lot of things that you desire to do to advance the kingdom of God. And those things God has placed in you to do, he's going to unfold it for you. Some things you're going to step into in this season, but some things is for a season which is to come. But know that it is God, and it shall come to pass.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
The Lord wants you to be encouraged too.
Amen.
Be strong and very courageous.
Yes.
You're gonna come up against a lot of things, and you're gonna have a lot of opposition. And I'm pretty sure the Lord has already shown you that.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
There's going to be a lot of opposition. Because of the message that God has given you. You know, because the revelation that God has been to pour into you, he's already started, but it shall happen in a greater measure. What God has been to pour into you is going to mess with a lot of folks' theology.
Yes, Lord.
It's gonna bother the way that folks have church. Come on now.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
But those that receive will be moving in the demonstration of the kingdom.
Thank you, Jesus.
And there's a lot of sick people that's gonna be coming your way. When your ministry really begins to take off the way that God really wants it to, there's gonna be a lot of sick people that's coming your way. And the Lord is going to use you to lay your hands upon them, and they shall be healed. I even see apostolic structure in your ministry. I even see God raising up other prophets and pastors and leaders in the ministry to assist you. The ministry is going to grow so large where you're not going to be able to do everything yourself. So God is going to have you just like Moses with the 70 elders. God is going to have you to impart into other leaders to be able to deal with certain matters concerning the church, because you're going to get such a overflow of people and even such an overflow of finances that certain people are going to be have to be put in different departments in order to be able to in order for you to be able to even handle all of that.
Yes, yes.
Despise not a small beginning, yeah?
Yes, Lord, yes.
Despise not small beginnings, the Lord say. You know, because you are a mighty man of God, and I really feel like you're a humble man of God too. You know, you don't find that very often. You don't find people that teach with authority, but then they're humble. You know,
yeah.
Because understand that when you are moving in the anointing, it can cause you to be authoritative, or it can cause you to be kind of firm or stern. But, you know, your normal personality when you're just walking around, you know, even though you are in the spirit 24/7, everybody's supposed to be in the spirit 24/7. But even when you're not moving in that realm, you know, it's kind of hard to find people that are humble when they're not, you know, moving in the things of God. And, you know, even when Jesus taught with authority, he was humble anyway.
That's right.
It was just certain times he had to be firm. But I see you as a very humble man, you know, in the church, outside of the church, you know, and you really have a big heart, you know, for the people of God. You really do. You know, because you're one of those ones that want to see, you know, the kingdom demonstrated in the lives of the people. You know, and God is going to cause you to unlock destiny in the lives of the people that God has assigned to you.
That's right.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank the Lord, Apostle.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is giving me a word for the call.
Amen.
In Chicago. Amen. Praise the Lord. Man of God, the Lord also is giving you a financial release on tonight as well. And he said overflow as well to you on tonight. What you have been experiencing, the delay. The Lord thy God said he has heard your cry, and he is answering your prayer.
Yes,
and amen, the Lord says, on tonight. And it is a financial release in the atmosphere. spirit that the Lord is releasing to you, and the Lord thy God said, you shall receive it within 2 weeks, the Lord God said. And also, you know, my second level thing, where you have the, you get the release, and then you get the flow, and then sometimes it's a little blockage. God say, on tonight, he's removing the blockage. And then not only that, it's many that's going to sow into your ministry as well. The Lord God is speaking on tonight. But he says overflow. In the name, he says no more lack, no more delay. It all stops on tonight in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. That, amen. That's the word of the Lord there. That's enough said, amen.
Yes, Lord.
The woman of God spoke it. I don't need to say no more. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I thank, you know, God for prophetess, for your obedience to the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. And man of God, you stand on that word here.
Yeah? Amen. Sure will.
Man of God, you stand on that word.
Yes.
You know, God got you. God got you in the palm of his hand here. And the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Truly your steps are being ordered by God. You know, and this is the hour where, you know, God is really going to establish the kingdom in your life and in your ministry, and you shall see, my God, many healings take place.
You know,
in the ministry, you know, because strongly I believe that every church should be a healing and deliverance ministry.
That's right.
You know, Jesus had a healing and deliverance ministry. The Bible says, as he is, so are we in the earth.
Yeah.
You know, so we're supposed to be a replica of what Jesus is in the earth. And, you know, I don't believe in sick people being in the church.
That's right.
I don't believe in demonic possessed people being able to stay possessed while they're in the church. You know, most deliverances I've seen and most demons that I've seen cast out were by people that go to church faithfully. Usher boy, even ministers. I've even seen things manifest in people who had titles in ministry. And I'm like, you shouldn't even been in ministry with that thing sitting inside of you, you know. So definitely God, healing and deliverance shall be established in a greater measure because you move in the things of the spirit now, you really do.
Mm-hmm.
But in a greater measure, the Lord says, in a greater measure it shall be upon your life, and apostolic authority is being unlocked in you even now. You know, apostolic authority is being unlocked in you in a greater measure even now. You know, and you shall begin to walk in it. I mean, my God, you're going to feel such an authority. You're going to be like, man, where this, good Lord, where this come from?
Yes.
You know, and so, you know, take that and run with it, man of God.
Sure,
you know,
will.
Because it sure shall unfold in your life. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen,
amen, amen, amen. Guest nine, could you introduce yourself? Who else on the line has not introduced themselves yet? Amen.
Hello, there would only be Apostle Christopher McQueen, and I chatted with you, but just for everyone else to know that we are here, God bless.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Apostle. My God, it's good to hear from you. I enjoyed your wife's prophetess segment the other day. You know, I listened in on it. You know, I didn't get a chance to really hear everything, but the part that I did hear, you know, it was an awesome revelation. Woman of God, prophetess Cheryl.
Yes, yes.
Is the Lord giving you anything else?
Pretty much.
Because you have anything for the man of God, Apostle McQueen?
Yes.
Who
yes.
just got on the line?
Yes.
Amen.
Pretty much. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, the Lord say he is transforming you. It's going to be a shift in the ministry. God is calling you to build in certain places. And also he said the ministry have been a little low, but things are going to begin to pick up. I see more and more. God is just going to begin to send more and more sheep into the body of Christ. And you will begin to branch out, says the Lord thy God. God is sending his, oh Jesus, you all operate in such a greatness in the spirit. But God is sending more glory upon the house. He said the latter day rain is coming upon the house. And also he said he is well pleased in this hour. And it's also some business transactions as well that's going to take place. Amen. Praise the Lord. He got a double sitting. But the Lord thy God says, be encouraged. He got my sticker, baba sticker, baba sticky, my son. He got a double sitting. Know that I am with thee in this hour. He got a double sitting. I am causing the hand of the Lord to move upon thee. Mighty in this hour, says the Lord thy God. He got a double sitting. All that have raised up against you in this hour. He got a double sitting. I, the Spirit of the Lord, he got a double sitting. It's causing those things to be powerless against thee in this hour. He says greatness in this hour. And he's shifting your spirit right now to receive where he's taking you to. The Lord thy God says, God said he have promised you much. But God said you have been waiting, sitting and waiting upon him. And the Lord said, the wait is over, my son.
Yeah.
And he said, I am sending thee, help in this hour. Every door that the enemy has closed in your face, my son, he said he has two doors opening in your favor. Those that answered no, he said, he got many that would say yes, he said, favor, in this hour, my son, he said, all that I, that you have asked of me, I am giving thee, in this hour, he said, because you walk by faith and not by sight. He said, those that trust me, those that stayed, those that prayed, this is the hour, where the Lord, is coming forth, and breakthrough in much power. says the Lord thy God. He got on the He says, worry no more. He got about Satan. I have heard you. He got it about say. I have answered you. He got it about say. O Robo Satan, says the Lord thy God. Be of good courage, for you are strong. Mm-hmm. And thy strength is strong within thee, he get sitting. I have kept you up, my son, and I have held you up through the wind, he got say, through the storm, he got say, through the rain, he got say, through the pain, he got say, through the shame, through the lack, through the sorrow, I have held thee up, he got sitting. He got sitting. He got say, and nothing, he got say. Nothing shall harm thee, Ikarabose. Nothing shall hinder thee, Ikarabose. No word that's spoken against you in darkness, God say. He's causing your enemies to cease as we speak now, the Lord thy God say, Ikarabose. And many that have spoken against you, Ikarabose, shall come before you, Ikarabose, and apologize, and not only apologize, Ikarabose, but bless you, and also, Ikarabose, speak the truth out of their mouth, the Lord thy God says. Ikarabose. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, we give you the glory. We give you the praise, Lord.
Yes,
we give you all the honor, Lord God, for shifting, Lord God. He's pretty much saying this is your time and this is your hour. The long-awaited promise, the wait is over with. But this is your season, God say. And God say, you shall walk. Ooh, Rabbi say, you shall walk in it. You shall stand in your destined, chosen place, the Lord thy God says. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, he's breaking away. He's breaking away, the Lord thy God says. See, what people don't understand, they speak words. He said, it's life in that mouth. You can speak death or you can speak life. And not you so much speaking death, but many people have chosen to speak death over your life. But the Lord thy God is casting down every word that was spoken against you, and he's rendering it powerless, inborn, and ineffective in your life. Your enemy is only your footstool. And he's going to show your enemies in this hour what they should have done for you. Yeah, what they could have done for you, the Lord thy God says. Oh,
yes.
Jesus, they're going to wish they had done it for you. Ah, Jesus, because the Lord is showing me, oh, glory to be to the name of Jesus. Ah, Jesus, God say television. God say billboard. You shall go, all over the world, and you shall be known and seen all over the world. See, God's showing me TVN. He's showing me the word network. He's showing me he's going to use you in all these places for such a time as this, my son. For I have saved. I have saved the best. Shall your ladder shall be greater, says the Lord thy God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. With all that being said, man of God, you just be encouraged, yeah?
Yes.
Amen. Yes. And it is well, my God. It is well. Everything that God has given you, everything that he's shown you, you know, some of it is beginning to unfold now, but a lot more is going to unfold in this season. And I'm going to tell you, like I told the man of God that just got off the phone, you are at the threshold, and this word is for you too, you are at the threshold of the greatest move of God in your life. You hear me?
Yes, yes.
You are at the threshold of a mighty move of God. And pretty much, you know, the woman of God spoke everything. You know, while she was speaking, I even see a greater demonstration of the kingdom of God in your ministry, in your life.
Yeah.
My God, I mean, God is getting ready to prosper everything about you. Everything. Everything. In greater measure. You know, my God, you are a powerful man of God. And you have a big vision, a very big vision that God has given you. And, my God, when this thing come to pass, my goodness gracious, I mean, I keep saying my God because I see it and I feel it. And a lot of times the Lord will show me something and it's hard to describe what I see. I can't even put it in words. My goodness. But the call upon your life is so great. And, you know, God is really thrusting you into some things in this hour. The things that he's showing you, he's thrusting you into it. You know, you and your wife both. And, my God, the seeds that you have sown in other people's lives, you and the woman of God both, y'all have sown a lot of seeds in the people's lives. You know, there's a harvest that's coming from those seeds that you've sown. You know, financially, spiritually, all that. All that is fin to, it's harvest time for y'all. The Lord said, just said it's harvest time for y'all. You know, because I'm seeing where y'all sown, you know, a lot of seeds. And, you know, God is fin to bring those things back to you. Matter of fact, I'm reminded of a scripture that says that, I might not be quoting it word for word, but it's in Amos 9. It says, matter of fact, let me turn to it real quick. I'm going to turn to it because the Lord was trying to lead me to a scripture while the woman of God was delivering the word of God. And, my God, I didn't know where he wanted me to go, but now I do know. I'm going to just read this short scripture to you real quick. And it says, let me see. It says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt." You know what I heard the word for you? I heard the word continual harvest.
Yes.
See, you all are continuing to sow. So as you continue to sow, you're always going to reap.
Yes.
Continual harvest. Because you've already put out there enough seed, whether it be financial, natural, spiritual, you're always giving. You're always giving. And God says now that you're going to begin to live in continual harvest because you've sown enough seed to where you can live in continual harvest. Because the more you receive, the more God will have you to give and the more that you're going to receive back.
Yeah.
And then not only that, God is going to place people around you, all you and the woman of God both, that really appreciate what you all are doing. I'm feeling like everybody does not appreciate, you know, the call of God upon your life. I really feel that.
Yeah.
Everything is not appreciated. And see, people must realize too that, you know, even though you don't put a man or woman on a pedestal, God requires you to respect the anointing. God requires us to honor the men and women of God. you know, the Bible says give honor where honor is due, you know, and your task should not be a grievous task. It should not be grievous, you know, because the Bible says that, that it, it'll be unprofitable for the ones that's causing the grief.
Yes.
So God is going to give you people close around you that appreciate what that appreciates your obedience to God, and that'll be able to sow back into your life. Because y'all are givers. I really feel that y'all are givers. You see, you all give. You know, and for that, God is, you're going to not only live in continual harvest, but God's going to have people to come back and give into you too, and the woman of God. God is going to have people to come and give to y'all too. So that's pretty much what I was seeing, you know, but the woman of God covered everything. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
She covered it. My God. My God, you know, the Spirit of the Lord really, really gave a powerful word to you. Amen. But I want to give this opportunity, if you have anything to say, or if the Lord has given you anything to say, I definitely believe, you know, and letting the apostles and the prophets and the other ministry gifts speak, amen, because the Bible says we know in part and we prophesy in part.
Amen.
That means that everybody have a part, you know. It ain't no one-man band where everybody got the whole thing.
Amen.
You know, nobody have a piece in it. Nobody never have the whole pie. We all have a piece of the pie. But
amen.
If I bring my piece, you bring your piece, we be able to get the whole pie.
Amen.
Amen. And complete the whole puzzle. So I would like to give you this opportunity to speak whatever it is, you know, the Lord has placed upon your, put in your spirit to speak. Amen.
Amen. What God is saying to me is two things. First of all, God is saying that this is a time for maturity in the body. God said it's time for us to grow up. He said we've been running around telling those who are following us to grow up, but the example before them hasn't been one that's integral. So they want to grow, but they can't see how to grow because we won't grow up and we won't show them. So God said that to me, and I said, how do I tell your people that? He said, well, I want you to tell them that this is a day and a time for maturity when you should be teaching. You got to go back and learn again the foundational things. And he said, we are here now dealing with that. But the second thing that God was saying to me is as we begin to deal with growing up, he says that he's beginning to connect the body together. This is the time and the season of divine connection. So God said that he's beginning to pull the body together because the work that has to be done by those who will put aside personal agendas and things that will lift up self, and they'll begin to really focus on the task at hand, and that is kingdom work. Too many times, you know, we get a little bit of notoriety, a little finance, a little something, and the next thing you know, there we are. We got an entourage and everything following us, and we only got two words because that's how long we laid before God. God said he's calling some people from back yonder's way that are going to come forward. You haven't heard them. You haven't seen them, but they've taken their time and laid before him, and he's beginning to connect those pieces together. I'm going to show you what he's showing me. In the military, you don't have the army go off and do army, their job as the army. They go on a ship or they go in a plane from the Air Force or from the Navy. The Marines go in a Navy ship. They get over and the Navy begins to bombard the landing area before the Marines get there to dig in a foothold. After they establish it, they move inland and the army comes behind and sets up a base. The airport provides air support for the whole thing. And God said, the reason why we don't see some of the victories that we need to see is because we've been trying to do it by ourselves. Naturally, if we understand that the Air Force, the Army, the Marines, the Navy have to work together to accomplish objectives, we as the fivefold ministry, those who are an ascension gift, we have to learn how to stand together, how to look at the objective, and then bring the gifts, the anointings, the skill set, the talents, the abilities together, and the resources to accomplish the goals. So that's what God is saying. He said divine connection. He said, but before we can get connected, we got to grow up. That way no little childish squabbles will fall out over who's doing what, how, when, where, because it's not about us. It's about the soul that we are sent here to get. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. My God, you touched on a lot of stuff that I ministered tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
And I know you wasn't on the whole time. Amen.
Yes.
So I know that that's definitely a word from God, because I touched on a lot of that stuff that you administered. Amen. And
amen.
I have somebody getting ready to call in now. His name is Will. You know, he has a strong call of God upon his life. You know, Will, are you there? Well, he getting ready to call in. He just told me he's going to call in. But you know, I'm asking that, you know, we keep Will in prayer, because the Lord told me something about Will yesterday. Because Will, you know, he has a the Lord has showed him that, you know, he has a strong a prophetic call upon his life. The Lord called him to be a prophet, but he also has an anointing like David, as far as you know the music is concerned. And the Lord told me something very deep about him. That's how I know something very special about him. And the Lord told me, well, I'm not going to get into everything that the Lord told me about him, but the Lord told me that he is called to purify the worship of this region. Now, I don't know about nobody else, but that's a heavy assignment.
Yes,
because, see, the Lord loves worship. God loves worship. You see, and worship is more than music. It is an actual lifestyle. Music just happened to be a part of what worship is. And one thing, and I touched on it tonight, that the Bible says that you must worship God in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
You know, and he just said he's on, so he's on now. He's listening now. But he said the Bible says you must worship God in spirit and in truth. That means you got to be in the spirit and walking in the truth, right?
Amen.
So that means you can't worship God in the flesh.
Mm.
But what the Lord began to show me was that, you know, a lot of people are worshiping God from a soulish or an emotional state.
Mm-hmm.
You see, they're walking according to their flesh when the Bible says that you must be in the spirit in order to worship God.
Yeah.
And you got to be walking in the truth. You got to be grounded and established in the truth, in spirit and in truth. Other than that, you can't worship God. So the Lord told me that, you know, he's called to purify the worship. And that's why, and that's a heavy assignment. You know, that's why, you know, his fire is very intense. And God is refining him now, you know, because of the assignment that's upon his life. And things for his life sometimes seem more intense. You know, at times, because the greater your fire, the greater your call.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, the ones that do all the crawling and the crying and suffer all the rejection and, you know, all the abuse and everything else, those are the ones that have the heaviest calls. I have a saying that one time the Holy Ghost gave me this one time. He said, the ones with the greatest flaws have the greatest cause.
Jesus.
Yes.
You see, and see, Will, you know, he loves worship. You know, there's some things that God is still doing in him. You know, but I would like, you know, for one of us to be able to pray for Will and speak into his life. You know, or a couple of us. It could be all of us. I don't know. But whoever God leads. But, you know, this is a very powerful young man. And, you know, I see his, I feel his earnestness to, you know, really, you know, do the things of God. He wants to do the things of God. And, you know, he's young like I am, you know. And, you know, a lot of times the enemy tries to knock us out of pocket while we're young. But the Bible says that even while we're young, we're strong. He called us, you know, while we're young because we're strong, you see. So, amen. Will, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Yeah, so if anybody feel led by the Spirit to release a word into Will's life, amen.
Amen. I have a word of encouragement.
Amen.
Will, the Lord is saying to you in this season to be strong, to be bold, and to be courageous. He says, forget those things which are behind you. And he's calling you to press. Press like never before in this hour. For the Lord is raising you above the flood waters. Everything that the enemy has thrown in your pathway, the Lord is removing it. Be encouraged. Don't look at what you see. Don't go by what you feel. Go by what you believe, the Lord thy God say. You believe in the Lord thy God like never before in this hour. Because God is pressing you, he's thrusting you, and he's going to sell you directly into your destiny in this hour. Many, 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 many afflictions. But God say, be encouraged, my son, because he have a plan to deliver you from all of your afflictions. And not only that, he has an expected end. Oh, Jesus, you're going to end up on your feet, standing tall, standing strong. He's planting you like that tree, and you're going to be that cedar tree that's strong, and you're going to be able to take anything that the enemy throw in your pathway, God said. He's regrouping your mind to even handle the realm of darkness, he said. You deal in the realm of darkness. When you go in with praise and worship the Lord, say, you tear down the walls of hell. He say, you tear down the walls of religion. You tear down that mimicking spirit. Jesus. And he have equipped you. It's not what's been said about you. But God say, it's what's in you is who he called you to be. He called you to be the king, a king of the land. And you're going to rise up and take your proper place and your proper position in this hour, says the Lord thy God. And I just see the Lord just changing all doors that's not supposed to be open, that the enemy, in a machete, I command it in the name of Jesus to close now. Every spirit that's trying to hold you captive in your past, I speak to it now in the name of Jesus, and I command it to loose you now. I command it to loose your mind now. I command it to loose your soul now in the name of Jesus. Who the Son sets free, it's free indeed. And I apply the blood of Jesus. I see seal those doors in the name of Jesus. God, and keep your angels around him, even in the midnight hour. I bind that spirit of torment that tries to come and torment your mind. I roboshat in the name of Jesus. I command every voice that speaks to you in the spirit that's not of God, I command it to cease now in the name of Jesus. God is shifting your spirit on tonight. And you shall adhere. You shall receive the God says. God said he is the God of Elijah. He said, arise, my son, and walk in victory in this hour. He got robo shadorobo sata. Robo shadorobo sete. And every lie that the enemy have told you about your destiny. He got robo sete. He said, arise and crush it under your feet. To know that you are a royal priesthood. You are from the root. He got robo sata. Again, he got robo sata. Robo shadorobo sete. And that spirit, he got of David shall be upon you, says the Lord thy God. He got the Lord thy God said he anointed you as a youth. He got and he called you. He got and tonight he says, walk out of darkness. He got in the name of Jesus, Sika Robo Sete, Robo Sika Robo Satay, Robo Sisi, Robo Sika Robo Satay, Robo Sike, Robo Satay, Robo Satay, Robo Satay. Father God, I call forth, Sika Robo Sete, Robo Satay, Robo Sete, every assignment, Sika Robo Satay. That's been assigned to him in the name of Jesus. Every gift, I call it forth in the name of Jesus. That he move in miracles. That he move in your signs and wonders. That he orchestrate your ministry, your power. In the name of Jesus, you will not be held back, God say. That spirit of delay, we bind it in the name of Jesus. We bind that spirit of failure off of the body of Christ. And we lose our spirit of success. You going to run. And you're not going to get weary. You're not going to faint. You're going to press towards the mark. And you're going to stay focused. And be peaceful. In season and out of season. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Robo seke, baba siko, robo seke. Robo seke, baba siko, robo seke. Robo saka, baba seke. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. A great gifting. Robo saka, baba seke. Thank you, Jesus.
Man of God.
Yes.
First of all, you do music, correct?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Yes, I do.
Okay. This is a word for you, and it's also a caution for you. The problem that we've had with the music the church is that it has been influenced by the angel of light, who appears, you know, to be this wonderful angel with divine revelation, but it's not the truth. It just looks the part. And what God is doing now is he's releasing the Davidic anointing upon Levi. What's happening is that they're going back to the lifestyle. They're going back to the way that it used to be. And what I mean by that, when David played skillfully with his hand, the evil spirit that was permitted by God to torment Saul had to flee. Your ability to exercise demons through the gift that God has given you mandates that your life be on a different level. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. I've been playing keyboard since I was 4 years old. I started traveling when I was 8. I was touring when I was 9. Let's just say I'm considerably older now. I played for some of the greats. I recorded with many people. I've seen a lot in gospel music and a lot in the name of gospel music. And what God is doing is he says judgment starts at the house of God. And he's going to come in and deal with the ones that influence the atmosphere for worship. So whatever you do in this time, whatever you do in this season, in preparing yourself, make sure that you keep him first. Your life has to be such that you can stand up at any time and cast the devil out with the gift that he's giving you. And that gift becomes the sword that you use and that you wield. David couldn't wear Saul's armor. He had to go like he was comfortable. But the job got done when it came to slaying Goliath. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Now, people who aren't musical won't understand what it feels like when you get into a flow and it's right there and you feel the atmosphere, you know, and you veer with it. But you got to go past the feel and start looking for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the atmosphere where you are, okay? That's what's going to set you aside, because there's too many talented people out there. There's not enough anointed people out there. My challenge to you is to seek true anointing, okay?
Amen.
Now, I'm going to pray a short prayer, but a powerful prayer. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, even as you have anointed me in every aspect of my life, wherever I need it, the anointing has shown up. Just like David, when he needed to run, he was anointed to run. When he needed to fight, he was anointed to fight. When he needed to lead, he was anointed to lead. Lord, even now, this young man, as your anointing comes upon him, for his life, for this time, this season, we bind every work. We cast out every word curse in the name of Jesus. But we lift him up before you. And, Lord, this anointing that you've given to me, if he is able and if it's your will, transfer it to him now in the name of Jesus so that he can do the work that you've given him to do, in fighting, changing, stirring, establishing kingdom sound this time, this season, this day. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
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 Careful what you ask for. Great anointing has come with great price.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. This has been such an awesome time. Amen. Sybil, you still there?
Yes, sir. I'm still here.
Amen. Amen. You have anything that you want to say also?
I just want to thank God that I was led to this teleconference. The message moving in God's grace and the grace of God was awesome. The word found me, and, just going back to the basics, God is awesome. I thank God for the prophetic word, the things that you confirmed that is happening in my life right now. God, I'm just excited about what God is going to do. I've enjoyed everyone that's on here, everything that God has spoken to my brothers and sisters on here. I'm just excited about what God is going to do in the body of Christ, and I'm glad to be a
mm-hmm.
part of it.
Amen.
I don't know what to say. I'm excited. I feel the presence of God all over me and in me, and I just thank God for his mercy and for his grace.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Any one of you, apostle or prophetess, have a word for Sybil? I just feel there's something else there. If the Lord has given you a word to speak, because I know that I released a word to her earlier, but, I didn't give the opportunity for anybody else to present a word to her that the Lord might have given you all. So I just want to open that up real quick.
What I hear is God is saying to her that this is a time for new relationships, deeper relationship with him, that you know me before. He said, but I'm calling to you deeper.
Mm-hmm.
He said, deeper, deeper. He said, and what you seek of me, I'm going to show you. He said, even as the child is learning to walk, and a parent holds their hands out to the child to encourage, but takes a step back to encourage movement, God says, do not faint. He's encouraging movement in you, and it's going to cause you to take on strength so you can go further, and you can see farther, and you can go deeper. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'm also hearing in the spirit for the woman of God as well, prophetess. The Lord speaks on tonight for you. Delay is not denial concerning finances. And he said, continue to wait upon the Lord and stay on the right path. Trust in him and add that word to your life every day of your life. Add that word to your life and the promises God has laid up for you. And just trust him. Take him at his word. And don't be moved by what you see God say. He has great blessings in store for you. But stand on that. Delay is not denial. And he shall provide all of your needs, not one, not two, not three, but every last one. Ian, am I seeking every last one of your needs? When you get up, he said, begin to speak out of your mouth because you have power in your mouth that you are blessed, woman of God. Wherever you walk, wherever your feet step, whatever you lay your hands to, you are blessed and it shall prosper. Amen. He's blessing you. He's blessing you. He's blessing you, he said. And he wants you to know this. I promise you, and I feel this so strongly tonight that he is so concerned about you, because sometimes we can feel like we are all alone. Nobody cares. But God got you engraved on a palm of his hand. And you are so special to him, he said. I can feel how our God feels about you, woman of God. And, oh, my God, it's such a beautiful presence. It's just a uniqueness in it. It's like, oh, Jesus, he's showing me you are like this delicate flower to him. Mm. And though we look at a delicate flower being weak, but God say it is, oh, Jesus, some strength and gentleness, he says, because that is his character. You know, and sometimes we feel like, you know, oh, Jesus, some people feel like you should have that tough character. But no, God say that's the spirit he has given you. And you continue to move in that spirit. You are so delicate to the Lord. And he's showing me your spirit as a delicate flower. And he's so concerned about every last one of your needs. He wants you to believe that because he keeps saying it over and over. Believe it, woman of God, that he is for you. Even down to the smallest details, he said, you know, you could have been in the store shopping one day and not had enough finances. Yorobo say, you know how we win the shop sometimes, and Yorobo Sata, you can't get what you need sometimes. Do you not know God holds that in the secret of his heart? Just because he cares so much for you, he'll allow you to receive that desire in your heart. Why? Because you delighted yourself in the Lord. And every time you delight yourself in the Lord, you're going to be fulfilled spiritually, mentally, financially. It's prosperity in the Lord. You can't come in the presence of the Lord and not get filled, not prosper. Amen?
Amen.
So every day, take up that word and eat it and be filled and be satisfied, the Lord thy God says for you. In this season. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. My God. My God. My God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word on tonight. My God. My God. It is, I have truly had an awesome time with you all. My God. God is so good. And it's like, I'm really like, overwhelmed because, I mean, I feel what God is doing. You know, not just in our midst right now, but I feel what God is going to do also. I honestly believe that from this time forward, you know, from this night forward, that our lives will never be the same again. Because now is the time for the vision to unfold. And that's something that God has been dealing with me about too. Anything that God has given you, and this is not just for you all, but those that are listening and those that will listen, anything that God has given you, now is the time. It will not tarry any longer. You know, the vision is for now, and it will begin to unfold in your life shortly. And I just want to encourage the people of God to continue to hang on to what God has promised you. And don't start trying to do things in your own strength, you know, according to the law. Because when you start operating in your own strength and your own ability and you trying to be good enough or you trying to do it your way, you start operating like you would be operating in the law. But God has called us to operate under grace. And when you're operating under grace, you recognize that it is nothing that you have done or can do. It's everything that he has done and everything that he is doing and everything that he's going to do. Amen. So grace comes directly from God, and it has nothing to do with our efforts. So we, as the people of God, must begin to move in the grace of God. And you can only move in that grace when you respond to the things of God by faith and walk accordingly, because we're saved by grace through faith. Amen. So I just want to encourage the people of God to continue to stand. You know, the Lord showed me that this is a very trying time for the remnant right now. You know, you know the remnant is in a very trying time right now. You know, some Some folks' trials are more intense than others, you know, but this is a trying time right now for us all, you know, but there's a breakthrough coming, and I don't like using that word breakthrough, you know, because the church has ran that into the ground, and by the time you get your breakthrough, you've been have a breakdown. But anyway, this is a time for you to stand because there is a breakthrough coming your way. You know, you have to endure for a while. For the short while, you have to endure.
Amen.
You know, but it's nothing compared to the glory that God is going to get. The sufferings of this present world is not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us.
Yes.
Something, yes. The glory in us. See, Jesus said the kingdom of God is in you, like I explained earlier. The kingdom of God is in you, so what's in you is going to be demonstrated through you in this hour, if you hang on. Amen?
Yes, that's it.
Amen. So are there any more words before I close this out? Amen. Anything, have anybody spoken everything that the Lord, you know, wanted them to speak? Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Truly, truly, I bless God for you all because you all are some real gifts to the body of Christ. Amen. And I'm going to tell you like the scriptures say, it does not yet appear what you shall be. Amen. Where you are right now, despite what level you are on, what level you're not on, whatever, where you are right now, I mean, is nothing compared to where God is taking you all. Amen. Where God is taking us as a whole. You know, and I thank God for y'all pieces of the puzzle. Amen. Because all of us have a part to play in this thing. You know, I think if we as a people stop, you know, trying to be the next it, you know, trying to be the next, Lord, I don't even want to be like none of these preachers out here now. I'm just being honest. I want to be me. I want to be who God made me to be. But stop trying to be the next T.D. Jakes, the next Juanita Bynum, the next big major prophet. And, you know, stop trying to, I'm thinking we stop trying to, you know, make a name for ourselves and start lifting up the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And start building the kingdom of God, I think that we would have faster results.
Yes.
You know, and stop trying to be a one-man band saying that I got all the puzzle. I got the whole pie. You got to come to me for the whole pie.
Yes.
You know, stop trying to be the next it. You know, there's too many people trying to build their own kingdoms. Too many people that's trying to be the next, you know, a big star in Hollywood Christianity. You know, I honestly believe that God is going to put a separation between that and the real, amen. Because right now the wheat and the tares are going together, but I believe harvest time is coming where the angel of the Lord is coming to gather up the wheat, amen, and separate them from the tares, amen. I'm going to close this thing out, amen. Sybil, the Lord says, be encouraged. He told me to tell you that, yeah?
Thank you.
He told me to tell you that again, be encouraged. You know, and that scripture that I quoted about the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. That was for you. The Lord said that was for you. You continue to hang in there, here. Because right now there's a ministry, your ministry, God is preparing you to birth out. And that comes through suffering. That comes through anguish. That comes through experiencing sorrows. Amen. The word travail deals with suffering. Remember, we're doing everything according to the Spirit. So, you know, right now, you know, you might be experiencing some birth pains or whatnot. You know, you may be experiencing some discomfort. You know, but just know that God is preparing your ministry that's on the inside of you to be birthed out, so that you can fully move and operate in the things of the kingdom, in the capacity that God has called you to move and operate in the things of the kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And your family is blessed. Your seed is blessed. Everything about you is blessed. You know, remember that, yeah?
I will. Thank you, sir.
All right. Will, anything you want to add, sir?
I thank God for every word that was spoken on tonight concerning my life.
Amen.
I give God praise for it. Just continue to keep me covered in prayer, even from last night on to tonight. I just feel a pushing, just pushing me to come closer.
Amen.
Closer.
Amen.
I thank God for continue to pray for me, continue to lift me up. I thank God for the assignment. I thank God. I just thank God for being God in my life.
Amen.
Being God in my life. He knows what I need, what I needed. So I thank God. I thank God for you all being God's mouthpiece and releasing the word of the Lord.
Amen. 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 With everything said, I'm going to close us out in prayer, man, and we all, including me, you know, we're going to sit down and really marinate on this thing, you know, because the word was kind of heavy tonight, amen. It was simple, but, you know, a lot of people have not even been taught the basics, you know, of the grace of God. And, you know, you can't move in the kingdom or advance the kingdom without operating in the grace of God, amen. But God is good. With all minds clear, amen, and all hearts clear, and all words spoken from the Lord, let us close out. Amen. Father, I just thank you right now, Father. Heavenly Father, my God, tonight has just been an awesome night, Father. And I know, Father, that this has been divinely orchestrated in heaven, Father, by you, Father, because honestly, Father, I was thinking about doing this segment tomorrow, Father, but you caused it to be so tonight, Father, because it was a lot of people it's a lot of people that's going to hear this segment, and even the ones that came on, Father, that needed to hear the words that was released into the atmosphere, Father. And, Father, I thank you even now, Father, that deliverance, Father, is taking place, Father, in the life of the ones that are listening right now, Father. I feel in particular there are two people that's going to come come into contact with this segment, and is going to cause deliverance in their spirit, Father. I just thank you, Father, right now, Father. Deliverance in their mind, Father. I thank you even now, Father, that it's going to cause a healing, Father, to take place in the heart, Father, in the place of the emotions, Father. I thank you right now, Father, that it's breaking tradition. I thank you, Father, right now for the anointing that's destroying the yoke, Father. Father, I come against every spirit of fear right now. I come against every spirit of doubt that will cause us not to walk in faith, Father, that will cause us to miss the grace of God in the lives of the people. I come against it now, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. And I command that that spirit of fear and doubt that caused the children of Israel to forfeit the promise, I cause and I command right now that spirit to be broken off of the lives of your people right now in the name of Jesus, that we may be able to walk in the kingdom and demonstrate the kingdom and live a kingdom lifestyle, Father, like you have ordained us to live from the foundation of the world, Father. I thank you even now that the ones, Father, that are listening, Father, that their minds are coming into alignment with the things of the kingdom. Right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you for your grace right now. I thank you for your grace, Father, because it's only by grace that we are saved through faith, Father. So I call forth, Father, the faith to be stirred up, Father, in your people right now to believe you once again, Father. Father, I call forth, Father, for the faith of your people to begin to stir up now in the mighty name of Jesus, that they may go forth and do, Father, and demonstrate, Father, the kingdom, Father, and do those things that you have called them to do, Father, because I realize, Father, and we all know, Father, that according to what you said in your word, Father, that without faith it is impossible to please you, Father. And if we come to you, we must believe. We must believe that you exist, that you are, that you is, Father, and that you are a rewarder of those that diligently seek you, Father. So I thank you even now, Father, because I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, hold fast to the profession of your faith. I hear the word of the Lord saying, hold on to that which I have promised you. Never mind what the naysayers say. Never mind what the evildoers are doing. For they shall have their reward in due season if they do not repent. But I say to you today, my children, continue to press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Be not discouraged. And do not faint. For I am ordering your steps. Be not afraid. In your night season, in even the tears that you cried, they have not gone ignored. For I say unto you, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Your night season is coming to an end. But in the spirit realm, I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying that it's morning time. Jesus. I hear the Lord saying, go forth. Walk in what I've already placed in you. I've given you power and authority. I've given you power and authority, my children. To demonstrate my kingdom in the earth. He said, I placed it in you. And I say to you this day, walk accordingly. Rubasta da di 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 biashando, He says, speak, my children. Every word that I tell you to speak. For now is the time for apostolic release and prophetic revelation to come forth in greater measure like that this generation have not seen or experienced before. Sukuta ba sikita da da bosia, ribasta da da bosukuta baba. Ito rebe sikando bosu, rimana masikita da 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 bosia, suta da 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 bosia. I'm calling you, sikata ta ta da ba, and commissioning you. Siketo do do bosuta to bring down sikota la basikata da 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 basata, the kingdom of darkness. Siko raba siketa da 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 basia, sikando do do bosia, and the works of darkness. Sukota ta da basia that are keeping my people in bondage, that's keeping my people in ignorance. Sikata da 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 bosikata da basia, and that's keeping my people from moving in the things of the kingdom. Sukuta ba siketa la la basia, and keeping them. From walking in this spiritual inheritance. I've called you my children. To call them. To come into apostolic alignment, and to go forth, in all power and the authority that I've given them to demonstrate the kingdom. Siko roboste de dibia shando haya tababa baba sia sia satonomo rimana masikete da bosi suya ya ya da da ba sia
ta ro
ha to bosi tuta
siko ta
haya tata da bosi di ya ya tata ba sikete ta bo riba ke baba ba kusuta da na na ma. Yes, for both to keep the Tabasia. Hey, Nama, to put a bar. Eat a tabo. Sunana shiketa
to cover many and to raise up the standard within many. And that's what I see where he have connected you there, connected to your spirit, the Lord thy God say. And you will begin to pray and intercede on behalf of these two men and two women.
Jesus.
And he will reveal to you who is the two men and the two women.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I receive the word of the Lord in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
The ministry is at hand, he says. And he's calling you forth where it has been limitations. The Lord say he's giving you the team. And he's calling from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Upon your leadership and your guidance, the Lord thy God said. And you shall be established internationally, the Lord says. See, the plans is so much greater than what we think. You know, and Jesus, many, Jesus. I just see you like, oh, Jesus. The Lord is showing me you on a, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. The anointing upon your life, God, is mega. Trifle. Get up, I sick of Rabo City. Kingly. Priestly. The prophet. And you're pulling. God is going to cause you to pull from all over the world. So you be stabilized in one place. The Lord thy God say, you will cause many to come into the body of Christ. And not only come into the body of Christ, but be lifted up to walk in the destiny that God has called them to obtain for their lives. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. From the four corners of the earth, you shall go from the four corners of the earth.
Jesus.
And you shall do my will, my son. Yes, Lord God.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So he said, hold on, my son. Because I see he's getting ready to take you on a ride. Hold on. And it's not going to be slow. It's going to be so fast. He has changed your gear in the spirit. Peace. You got to move swiftly. Things on this earth is going to move swiftly to your command. Why? Because the Lord thy God say he have connected you to your destiny. You see, it's something when destiny meets. Jesus. At that moment and that time, instantly, things begin to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the word for you as well. The Lord spoke, no more delay.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And I receive it all in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Other word somewhere. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Anything else anybody amen want to speak? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Woman of God, I definitely received that word here.
Amen.
God is so, God is so awesome. Amen. Every time we only spoke a couple of times, but every time we speak, amen, the Lord just be confirming all kind of stuff. I mean, my goodness, stuff that I forgot about.
Praise you, Jesus.
You know, and it's like God is reminding me of everything that He's ever given me 4 to 5 years ago. You know, and He's bringing it all back to my remembrance. You know, a lot of things I forgot, you know, but the Lord is bringing it all back because, you know, now it's time for those things to unfold, amen?
Amen.
And not just in my life, but in the lives of, you know, those of us with God in this season. I mean, it's a very season, you know, for those who things of God. And it's important that, you know, we continue to walk in the Spirit and, you know, deny our flesh daily. You know, it's something that folks.
Hello?
Hello?
I think I
got dropped again.
We got disconnected.
Yeah, I think he got disconnected again.
Amen.
God bless everyone. Yeah. Wonderful night and wonderful word. You bless them in the Lord.
We got disconnected.
Amen. Yeah, thank you.
We
got this.
Amen. Everybody, just be blessed on tonight. Like I said, I enjoyed each and every last one of you all. Looking forward to get to know you all more better in the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you're connected to the.
Everybody, just be blessed on tonight.
The chat, I put my website up, www.cttkr.org, and we look forward to fellowshipping with you all. Connect with us. We'll definitely support you and see what we can do to establish kingdom with you.
Amen.
I put my website up.
I apologize for that. And for some reason, this phone is, it has never done this. My phone's been acting crazy ever since I planned to do this segment today, man. It's just been acting crazy. My phone never acted like this. But to God be the glory. Everything has been said. Everything has been spoken. You know, God is definitely... an awesome God. I'm just full right now. That's why, you know. And usually me, you know, it's it's hard for me to get full, you know, and not really have too much to say afterwards.
All right.
You know, because those that know me know I can go. Amen. They know I can go. Amen. I would like to thank Apostle McQueen for coming on the line. He definitely blessed us today. And thanks to Will also for coming on the line. You're truly a blessing to the body of Christ, and God's going to use you in an awesome way. Just hold on and continue to submit to the process, and God is going to take you great places. And Sybil, my God, you're a little prayer warrior too, aren't you?
Amen. Praise God.
Yeah, yeah. You was a strong prayer warrior, you know. And you know, God is just developing you. You know, He's taking you to places that you have not been, and you just have to continue to hold on. You know, it gets hard sometimes. I know it do. I've been in that situation. You know, whatever you got to do, crawl, cry, whatever, you know, God got you in the midst of it. And I see Apostle McQueen said his phone died also, but we thank God for you. We really do. You really blessed us on tonight. And Prophet Cheryl, Prophet Cheryl Green, my God, you truly blessed us also on tonight. You know, I thank you for your obedience to the Spirit of the Lord. And, you know, everything has been said, everything has been spoken. Now God is releasing my spirit. You know, now, you know, he said we can dismiss. So I'm going to say a little short prayer, and I'm going to make it short this time. Amen. Because I started to pray, and then, you know, the Holy Ghost got the speaking and everything else. So I'm going to just say a prayer, and then we're all going to dismiss. Amen. Father, I just, once again, Father, I just thank you, Father, and I just thank you for tonight, Father. Thank you for the wisdom and the impartation, Father, and the release. And Heavenly Father, we just ask, Father, that as everybody begins to go their separate ways, Father, you will allow what's being said, Father, to marinate in our spirit. And we know, Father, that it's by your grace and not by our works that we have obtained what you've given us, Father. And, Father, we will be sure to walk in that from this day forward. And we forever love you, give you all the praise, Father, because truly you are good. And we bless your name. And we thank you for the fruit that's going to be produced from this segment. And we thank you that you are raising up a people that's going to establish righteousness in the land. And we bless you for that. Truly, it's an honor and a privilege to be a part of this move of God that is upon this land. And we just thank you for the opportunity. We're humbled by it. We're humbled by it because you did not have to choose us, Father, but you did. And for that, we forever give you all glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, y'all. I love y'all with all my heart. Remember that, here.
Amen.
I love y'all. I love y'all with all my heart. And like I said all the time, I only got to know you to love you.
Exactly.
You know, but I do love you. And you all have my address on Facebook. You know, for those of y'all who have my number, y'all can call me anytime y'all feel like it. You know, I'm always here. You know, I check my Facebook every day. I check my Facebook every day, man. So if you send me a message, I'll be sure to get it. And you all stay encouraged, yeah?
Amen.
God bless you.
All right. God bless you. I'm finna hang up the phone now. Amen. Because if I don't hang this phone up, I'm liable to get something else started.
Yes, Lord. God bless everybody tonight.
All right. God bless y'all. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.